gentlemen of the jury,
the prosecution is not going to get that man today.
No,
because I'm going to get him.
This is the Hagman and Hagman Report for today. It is a free-for-all Friday. It is Friday, the third day of May 2013. I'm Doug Hagman. With me is my co-host in studio. He's my son. Glad to have him. He's Joe Hagman. We are together, the premier father-son investigator pair team on the Internet. We are here to provide you with 3 hours of unbiased, uncensored news analysis information that you need to know in these perilous times. Together, we are the Hagman and Hagman Report, and we want to welcome you to our program. We'd like to welcome new listeners that we've heard from today, just today, all across North America, from Washington State, Utah. We also have some new listeners in Denver and Los Alamos, New Mexico. We also have some people in Dallas, Fort Worth area, and Dayton, Ohio. And that's just to name a few that we've heard from today. And I want to thank you for joining our program. Also, some international listeners, new listeners in the Philippines, Italy, and also Spain. I'm not sure exactly how we come across. It's like the Hagman and the Hagman Telemundo program. Anyway, folks, for those new to the program, I want to welcome you and let you know that we broadcast live each and every weeknight from 8 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Our home base on the Internet is HomelandSecurityUS.com. We're also simulcast by the Christians United Broadcasting Network. Tune into us at the Hagman and Hagman Report.com. That's the Hagman and Hagman Report.com, all spelled out, www.thehagmanandhagmanreport.com. Especially, folks, if you have any trouble listening to us live and you hear clipping or any odd sounds, tune into that page or go to that page. But again, thank you for joining us, and thank you for your belief, your trust in us as we walk through this minefield of current events together. Folks, we're a listener-supported show. We want to just thank everyone who has helped us stay on the air through your financial support, through your prayers, through your talking of this show. I just can't tell you how much that's appreciated. We think of you as extended family. And with that, Joe, it's great to be here on this Friday.
Yes, it is. And for those of you in the Midwest, lower Midwest, going through the cold weather, I am sorry for you. We have had beautiful weather here the last 3 days, and it looks like it's going to stay that way. Sunny, 75, 80 degrees. Really liking the weather.
I'm actually in my Speedo. No, just kidding. Yeah. Oh, what a mental image that is. But seriously, the weather has been an issue across the country.
Winter storm Achilles striking in May.
Man.
And not in areas that, winter storms normally strike in May. We've had May snow before. It's not that out of the ordinary to have a flurry here or there in May.
We had flurries coming down on Memorial Day here.
Right.
Up on the Great Lakes.
No, but you're talking the Midwest, South Midwest, going through cold. Even if you're not getting snow, your temperatures are in the 40s and 50s. And I saw Iowa got a bunch of snow. There was a foot of snow, I think, in Idaho or somewhere in the West. But that storm is really making a mess of things. And
we're
usually one on the other end of the stick. That's why I was bringing that up, because I'm not enjoying others suffering through the crappy weather, but I'm just enjoying our weather. And when I go on the Weather Channel, I see that big Achilles warnings. It's been every day for the last 4 days. They've had the red warnings. Yep. And what about tornado season? Has this been delayed? Remember, the last few years, you've had some really bad tornado seasons. I don't know if they're still coming, if they're going to stay away this year. Hopefully they do. But there was some terrible disasters in the last 2 years from tornadoes, and we have not seen that in the U.S. this year.
Well, I don't know. It almost seems like things have shifted a couple of months. It's like instead of it being May 3rd, in some parts of the country, it's March. But I was talking to Holly Dale the other day, and she said that their drought has been terrible. And they had, when I talked to her, I think it was yesterday, they had snow there on the ground. So, and she's out in Colorado. Wow. Amazing. Joe, I've got a couple of announcements before we begin our program. And, folks, this is going to be a very important program for you, kind of catch you folks up on a lot of news. The theme of tonight's program, really, the backbone of tonight's program is really the war, a hot war now, has been declared against Christians. And if you don't believe that, I don't see how you can't, but the evidence is there. But before we get into the news, a couple of announcements. The first announcement. Remember, we've had Larry Grathwell on the program a number of times. He's the author of a new book, Bringing Down America. Well, he's going to be, he's the FBI informer infiltrating the weather underground, the weatherman. He's going to be a guest on the Keith Hansen show tomorrow, Saturday, May 4th, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern time. Now, folks, I haven't put up Keith switched stations, so I haven't put up the new ad yet, but I will. But you can listen or listen live or watch live. If you go to Facebook, Keith on the Air is his Facebook presence, I believe. But
also on the site, we have a link to his show.
No, we don't. I had taken it down to reformat it.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right. Keith Hansen, if you go to keithontheair.com, that's keithontheair.com, you can watch the video of his show, and you can watch the or listen to the audio as well. But Larry Grathwell is going to be on tomorrow. He's been a frequent guest on our program. Very important information. I talked to Keith right before the show. He said it's going to be a lot of information about his new book, about the infiltration, about how today people like Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn have infiltrated academia, higher academics, and are shaping policy and shaping academia. So please, folks, if you have the opportunity, and it's Saturday morning, here in the East, 10 o'clock, and in the West, it would be, 7 in the morning. So please, if you have the opportunity, tune in to Keith Hansen's show tomorrow. It's going to be a very informative show with Larry Grathwell. And then, once again, that's keithontheair.com. I'll put up something tonight on homelandsecurityus.com to let everyone know. The second announcement I have, and the final one, I just want to say this. We're going to be, Joe and I are going to be, we're honored to be asked to be speakers along with Susan Price, the Gold Star Mom, who's been on our program a couple of times. Just a tremendous researcher and a dynamic, and I mean a dynamic lady. She, of course, lost her son in Afghanistan. What a loss, what a tragic loss. And then she said to me, today on the phone, we were talking, and her voice was cracking. You know, she said, they killed my son in the flesh, and, my spirit was killed or was wounded as well. It struck me. But anyway, we're going to be joining Susan Price in a national insecurity seminar in Raleigh, well, it's Apex, North Carolina, just outside of Raleigh. That'll be from June 7th to the 9th. Now, I believe we'll be there on the 8th and 9th.
And just to give you an idea of some of the things going on, there's going to be a seminar on a one-world government. There's going to be an hour seminar on their agenda. There's going to be on the Sunday morning my testimony of God's grace and power given by the pastor, and that'll be the closing event. But this is going to be – I'm excited to go down there and get involved with this. And I suggest to anybody who can attend, definitely do so and make plans to do so now if you can.
You can even, what we'll even do is, if you want to like take pictures with us, we'll like $5 picture. I'm just kidding.
We'll probably have to pay to have people who want to take pictures with us.
Yeah, actually,
we'll be paying the $5.
That's really what I meant. But anyway, no, it's. Yeah, it'd be nice to meet some of our listeners if you want to if you're around Raleigh, North Carolina. Now, when I say Raleigh, like I said, it's Apex, North Carolina. It's Mount Pisgah Baptist Church is where this event will be held, folks. It's going to be a dynamic seminar. It's going to be a great seminar. That's Mount Pisgah, P-I-S-G-A-H Baptist Church. You can find information about this at Mount PISGAHchurch.org, and we'll put a link up there.
Yeah, definitely you should put a link up there on the website and say hi to Susan as she's in the listening audience tonight.
Didn't know that. Susan, what a great lady. I got to tell you, she's just a fantastic person. You know, I got to tell you this too. When I was talking with her, and she sends me a lot of information that she has ferreted out through open source, and you know what a great researcher and detective she is. Holy cow! Some of the stuff that she comes up with actually, I don't want to say scares me, but it makes me sit up and take notes, because she really can find information that others can't. And we're just gonna—I'm just so humbled to be able to be able to play a supportive role in her. In the seminar at that church there. But I would recommend, please, folks, if you are in that area, if you live in that area, or if you can attend, it's free. It's free. It's no charge at all. But it's going to be, if you can attend like Saturday or Sunday or Friday, whatever you can do, please do so. And you've got to register, though, because they have to have an idea of how many people. So just go on the website and fill in the, It's a short registration form. Fill it in, and then drop me an email. Drop Joe or I an email too, and we'll make sure we look you up down there. Let's have a packed house down there in Raleigh, in that greater Raleigh area. Let's have a packed house, because both for Susan and for the church doing this, they're doing a lot to educate the public about the New World Order, about the people that are behind this nefarious agenda that we're seeing, and also to hear Susan's story, to get into the nuts and bolts of really what happened at the ambush in Afghanistan. It's just going to be an incredible time. So thank you for allowing me to say that. One last thing, I want to say hi to Lloyd. Lloyd, I know you listen on the archives, so you're hearing this a day later. But it was a pleasure speaking with you today. God bless you, my friend, and we'll be talking with you more on that. I just want to say you're certainly a shining star in our nighttime sky, and you know what I mean by that.
Title of tonight's show: Separating Fact from Fiction, and really this is aimed at the what we're seeing along the Christian family here in the U.S., what is news is coming out. And we have a lot more news than just what is coming out of the Pentagon, what Steve talked about yesterday, yesterday on Rick Wiles' show. He was a guest on Rick Wiles, and they were talking about how the Pentagon may court-martial soldiers who share Christian faith. We had Steve Quayle on and the insider on the first, and yesterday we had Nathan Liao. This article from the first, we didn't really get a chance to get into except with V and Steve, but we're going to get into this and a few other things now. There are still some people out there who disagree that Christianity is under attack. They think this is normal. Christianity can't be under attack because, there's not, I don't remember how Rachel Maddow worded this, and I didn't download the 7-minute audio clip, but basically saying it was a misconception or it wasn't properly being told to the public, and they're misunderstanding what was going on. But
and therein lies the exact nature of the problem.
Yep.
The way it's said. See, she's twisting it to make it appear very innocuous. We have harmless. Yeah, and it's anything but. It's anything but harmless. It's like the NDAA. Remember that whole confusion about the NDAA saying, well, this doesn't apply to American citizens. Oh, yes, it does. Well, look, Section 1032 says it doesn't. Oh, yes, it does. So we've gone from a don't ask, don't tell sexuality clause to a no,
please tell, and we'll call you from the White House to congratulate you.
There you go.
The bad stuff, but if you're doing anything good, you better watch it, because you are going to be in some trouble. And here, the Pentagon has released a statement. This is from Breitbart from May 1st. I'm sure a lot of you have read this, that soldiers could be persecuted for promoting their faith. And what is this word? Religious proselytization? Proselytization.
You know what? I cannot pronounce that word properly. It's proselytization. Proselytization. Okay. To proselytize. I'm not even sure I pronounced it correctly there. But you know, in addition, okay, that May 1st article, I have an update here from today. I don't know whether you saw this.
Proselytization.
Proselytization.
The web definition is convert to another faith or religion. Okay.
To proselytize, yeah.
Proselytize.
Folks, we're having trouble.
I'm reading the spell out version. You know how they write it and separate the words for it in the sections?
Yeah.
Can read it. I can't even pronounce it when I'm reading it from there. Anyway.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. Somebody just corrected me. Proselytize. Proselytize.
So they're saying this proselytization is not permitted within the Department of Defense. And what that is converting one to another faith, or converting from another faith or another.
We just call it evangelize. I'm sorry.
Yes. Well, a statement released to Fox News follows a Breitbart News report on Obama administration Pentagon appointees meeting with anti-Christian extremist Mike Weinstein. This is a gentleman we talked about in a previous article when this was just was not confirmed. But this Weinstein's a real piece of work. He was calling Christians carpetbagging, monstrous, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, X, Y, and Z. Anyway, from their earlier report, Weinstein is the head of the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, and he's an atheist. Some Christians say, including chaplains, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ in the military are guilty of treason. This is from Harry Weinstein. And committing an act of spiritual rape as a serious crime, as sexual assault. He also asserted that Christians sharing their faith in the military are enemies of the Constitution.
Well,
we're going to come back to this. But one article people did not talk about, the head of the UN, Ban Ki-moon, Christian equality under attack by UN chief. Now, this is from 26th of April. Speaking via video link in the Oslo Conference on Human Rights on April 15th, UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon announced he is launching an international campaign to elevate the demands of sexually confused individuals over the rights of other individuals. He believes that the unanswered demands of individuals who suffer from gender confusion represent one of the neglected human rights challenges of our time. Those are in quotes, neglected human rights challenges of our time. So the head of the UN isn't concerned about the 233 starving children that died a couple of years ago in, I forget what country that was, that we read the other day. Also, there is huge famines going on right now all across the third world nations. I don't know if you guys have seen news on this. I have. I was looking it up, and there is a rather high number of starving people this year, more so than other years. But anyway, that's not important. What is important is to unconfuse the people who don't know what gender they are. This is the biggest human rights issue challenges of our time, okay? According to the head of the United Nations. And he anticipates that culture, religion, or tradition will be forces that oppose this change. Ban Ki-moon maintains that if others join him, this world would be safer, freer, and more equal for everyone. History tells us that when groups are singled out, or as the latest, newest, and most vague for special exceptions, in this case, group of sexually confused individuals, than the rights of the traditionalist, and those who are governed by scripture are almost always in jeopardy. Now, what that says is that the people who have the traditional beliefs who won't go with the change are the ones who are in jeopardy. Those are the people who practice Judaism, Christianity, or even Islam, practice Islam. The religion is under attack. Christianity is in the news because it's never been so in your face. We just had the 10th state. This was not Kansas, Rhode Island. Rhode Island became the 10th state to legalize gay marriage this week. This was done by a 56-15 vote in the Rhode Island House. They passed this bill to legalize gay marriage, and Rhode Island will become the 10th state to have legal gay marriage. We see this continuation of states adding up on this list of states that are allowing gay marriage. Now, do you think the Lord's going to wait to come down and judge us until we get to like halfway? Do you think we got to hit 25 states before we're going to see trouble because of this?
No. And judgment's already begun.
And I make a distinction between what Ban Ki-moon and what this Weinstein's saying and Rhode Island becoming the 10th state because this is done by our legislation, our legislators, our people in office, our politicians, us. We're allowing this to happen on our soil, states being allowed to gay marry. Even when California voted it down as being they did not want it in their state, Prop 8, I think, Proposition 8, the Supreme Court overturned it and said their voting, the California citizens' vote, was unconstitutional. And we never really went through this too much, but why put up something to vote? That's like saying, we're going to vote to see if we can ban toilets or ban water. And the people actually voting to ban water. And I could see then a Supreme Court person saying, yes, that vote was unconstitutional. You can't deny somebody of basic essentials. But in an unprecedented move, the Supreme Court steps in and says, your vote against homosexual marriage is unconstitutional. Now we have this Weinstein saying that they want to imprison, try with treason, people who promote Jesus Christ and his word, the gospel. Not the people who are stealing the money out of the bank accounts across the world, out of the through inflation. There are different techniques and tactics of theft that they central bankers, governments have been practicing. They don't want to put up for treason the people who are guilty of Benghazi. They don't want to hold accountable the politicians who are taking civil liberties away in exchange for quote-unquote security. They want to try Christians. For what? For reading the Bible to somebody else? To sharing it with someone? Nobody's saying you have to convert or you're going to die like some religions or some people in some religions do. Sharing a true Christian sharing the gospel to another person is as pushy as me trying to fist fight my dad while he's sleeping. It's just, you know, there's not.
I'm not sure how to take that.
Well, you understand what I'm trying to say.
No, I do. I know.
You know, nobody preaches the gospel to somebody and they say, you know, I don't want to hear this right now. I'm not ready for it. And they say, well, too bad. This is what you're going to hear. And you're going to sit here and listen until you're converted or we're going to behead you. I mean, this is not a Christian religion at all. So why are they attacking Christianity? Why is the UN coming out and saying, in order to promote and help confuse gender people who don't know, who were born either male or female, but they are so confused in their mind that they don't know which gender they really are. Now, what causes this confusion, this level of confusion? And this brings me to my next point. We're always looking for this a big deception when we're reading about the end days in the Bible. What if we're not already in the Great Deception, almost at the end? You have 4 out of 10 Americans saying, yes, we'll give up our civil liberties for safety. You also have a poll that says 30% of Americans are ready for a civil war or ready for armed conflict with their government. very concerning things are happening. And what we're going to do, I'm going to play this clip of Fox News and how they are talking about this Christian attacks that are going on, the attack of our faith in the U.S. And then we're going to break this clip down and hit some other information and stories regarding to different stories regarding to Christianity under attack in different ways.
Thanks, Stretch. Practice Christianity and you could be court-martialed. That could be the new law of the land for our armed forces, thanks to a proposal by a religious tolerance group that claims Christian evangelists are predators. Groups like the Family Research Council are up in arms over this threat to religious freedom. Their executive vice president, retired U.S. Army Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, joins us now from D.C. Good morning to you, General.
Hey, good morning, Steve. It's good to be with you.
It's good to have you, sir. A real pleasure. Let's talk a little bit about this. The Pentagon's trying to think how they should be religiously tolerant going forward, and they're meeting with this outfit called the Military Religious Freedom Foundation. You have a problem with that. Why?
Well, first of all, this organization is not only atheist, but it is viscerally anti-Christian. It has a track record of being anti-Christian, and it, by the way, combined with its friends over at the Southern Poverty Law Center, they've made great efforts to try and eliminate all vestiges of Christianity from our military.
Mm-hmm. We're showing an image of Mickey Weinstein, who heads up that organization. You say he's an atheist, and you don't think, if they're talking about religion, he is not the fellow the Pentagon should be speaking to.
Well, that's right. Look, I think all of us believe that commanders and people in positions of responsibility should never use coercion with regards to religion. But the free exercise of religion in our military goes back as far back as our military. It goes back to George Washington bringing chaplains into mm-hmm. the military. It's a fundamental right, and the very people that are now being threatened are the people that are out defending the First Amendment rights.
Sure.
And we find this incredible that they would go to an anti-Christian, atheist organization like the Military Religious Freedom Foundation to even talk to them mm-hmm. about religious freedom.
Well, one of the things, General, they want to do is that organization wants to enforce a regulation that says that military members who proselytize should be essentially court-martialed, right?
Yeah, that's right. And look, they need to get their terms straight. First of all, what is proselytizing? Well, technically, it means witnessing. In other words, living your faith, mm-hmm. Exercising your faith by being able to speak about it. It's not about coercion. It's not about, I think, what they are trying to portray it as. And it is very important that we allow our troops, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, to live their faith and be able to talk openly about it. What they're about to do is ruin any hopes of being able to recruit a professional military mm-hmm. in the future by sending a signal across America to moms and dads that when your son or daughter joins the military, they will have to check their faith at the door. That's not the way America was built. It's certainly not the way our military was built.
Well, General, here's a statement the Pentagon gave to us. Quote, religious proselytization is not permitted within the Department of Defense. Court martials and non-judicial punishments are decided on a case-by-case basis. What do you think of that, Stan?
Well, first of all, again, it's a matter of what do they mean by proselytizing.
Right.
Again, I think they've got their definitions a little confused. If you're talking about coercion, that's one thing. But if you're talking about the free exercise of our faith as individual soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines, especially for the chaplains, then I think that the worst mm-hmm. thing we can do is stop the ability for a soldier to be able to exercise his faith.
Truly. All right. Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin from the Family Research Council. Sir, thank you very much for your service and coming in today.
Thank you.
All right.
Now, the Family Research Center was one of those places listed on the Southern Poverty Law Center's hate group. And I don't know how familiar you guys are with this, but we didn't report on this. I uploaded the audio, and we never got to it. But the Family Research Center in Washington, D.C. was the target of a hate crime. directly related to the Southern Poverty Law Center's publication. And that came out as the FBI said yes. The guy, you can see the guy being interviewed on videotape say he's got the place to attack from the Southern Poverty Law Center report.
Hmm. Okay.
No, but I said,
what kind of attack? I mean, are you
shooting?
Okay. All right.
And I'll find the story. We can go over that. But I wanted to talk about this Fox News report. Now, this was Fox and Friends in the morning. They brought on somebody from that family research.
You were telling me you had a problem with how that whole thing was couched. I wasn't.
Yes. Where is the outrage? Where is the talk of this shouldn't? I mean, this is Fox News you're talking about. You're talking about the fair and not balanced, the most conservative and unbiased news in the history of America, the self-proclaimed Fox News, right? Where is the outrage on this issue? I hear them reporting this like it's another story. Like this
I think on Monday I was outraged.
I'm not talking about you.
Okay, I know.
I mean, we have the main quote-unquote Republican, right-wing, conservative, Christian, family values news source in the country.
Right.
And they give this thing, this story a roll, a 24-hour loop of top headlines for a day, talk about it on a few shows nonchalantly, and let it go. I mean, you're talking about the end of Christianity in the military. You better put some thought into this, and you better really get in front of this and attack this. I mean, if they can do this in the military, to the people in the military.
Okay, but let me explain.
And I know this is a consultant they brought in. I know this is not.
But this is policy. This is policy. This is policy. And here is the thing that people don't understand. Folks, it's always been policy. This is not a new policy they created out of thin air and implemented. What they have done is they've taken their policy. It's kind of like having a law in the books that's existed for a long, forever, and suddenly enforcing that law. But selective enforcement is what we're talking about. It's always been.
Where did the First Amendment go? Did that go away with the Second Amendment and the Fourth Amendment and the Tenth Amendment? And
herein lies the issue, okay? Once again, this policy has the policy against evangelizing in the military. In other words, attempting to convert, you're a private and you attempt to convert another private to your religion. That's always been against the policy within the military. But now, and people are not getting this. What's happening now is the selective enforcement against Christians. Do you see what I mean? They brought in this Weinstein guy, and they've essentially hardened the policies, but only selectively against Christianity.
That was my next question.
Yeah, that's.
Will we see this crackdown with all and any religions? Or I mean, Satanism or Satanists are considered a religion, even on the U.S. military's own applications.
Oh, yeah, very much so.
So are we going to see people being put in jail for or court-martialed for sharing their Satanist views? Are we going to see people thrown in jail for sharing, and this is obviously not a comparison, their Judaism views, their Islamic views? No, we're seeing the stories come out about Christian views. And the word that we go back to, this posterization, it's saying to make someone conform or change religion. Now, what if you're a Christian already and you want to be have a Christian chaplain? Will this be court-martialed, or am I splitting hairs here? Or
no, you're okay. The story's outrageous enough, so we don't have to and I know this is not what you're trying to do, but this is not going to affect the chaplain's services. Okay, it will affect, however, their ability to work within the environment that is the military.
So they could go to a Christian chaplain could find an atheist. He say he's going bed to bed, praying for injured people. Okay,
right.
He could come across an atheist, start to share, and basically the atheist can report him and say, "This guy tried to convert me."
Pretty much. That now that is true, but it's even gotten worse than that. An Air Force spokesman said personnel this today. This came out, I think yesterday or today came out. They're not allowed to evangelize, but are free to express their personal religious beliefs so long as, quote, it does not make others uncomfortable. Well,
how about this situation?
Wait a second. The Air Force officer was told to remove a Bible that was on his desk. Okay, so explain, see what's taking place here? When on duty or in an official capacity, Air Force members are free to express their personal religious beliefs as long as it does not make others feel uncomfortable. So what happened was Lieutenant Colonel Laurel Tingley told in Fox News that proselytizing, inducing someone to convert to one's faith goes over the line, but actually backed the removal. The forced removal of that Bible from the Air Force colonel's desk. Explain how that, once again, this is an attack on the freedom to practice. This Air Force officer was not outwardly attempting to convert anyone. So it's gone beyond the point where it's being reported by the mainstream media. It's gone way beyond that point.
Well, the Columbus High School Mighty Cardinals did win the 4 100-meter relay by 7 yards and had a shot at the state championship until sprinter Derek Hayes pointed to the sky. His father, KC, said that his son made a gesture of thanks to God. But raising a hand to the sky is considered excessive celebration according to the state scholastic rules. And with that, the team is disqualified. It was a reaction, Casey Hayes said. You were brought up your whole life to know that God gives you good things and you are blessed. Many interviewed around town said that this was a violation of freedom of rights. Columbus High School said that religious gestures are not banned, but they must be done off of the competition field or court. But it's not against the rules. Religious freedom
you just
of
can't
religious
do it.
Rights.
You can't do it.
Not banned. Not banned. His gestures are not. Well, no, these people got disqualified from a state championship, their whole team, because of one guy raising his hand to this guy.
Right.
People can interpret that how they want.
Yeah,
he could have been pointing to a bird, a cloud. I guarantee it was because they asked him what he was doing or they made this a religious issue on purpose. We are seeing religion, and I don't care what religion you are, it encompasses all religions except the occult and atheists. You're going to be under attack. And look back at the Albert Pike's Third World War statement. You don't have to put any stock or credence into that, but what they're doing here by singling out Christianity. Now, if they were to come out in the Pentagon and say, we're cracking down on all religions, I would still have a big problem with it, but it would look a little bit different as far as the big picture is concerned over time because they're singling out this one group now, okay? And it's through a wide area. It's through the Supreme Court, through the Pentagon, the Department of Defense, the Department of Homeland Security, all these reports about this radicalization and Christians being on the top of the list pretty much on every one of these reports. It's getting worse and worse. We now have the Psychiatrists Association of America coming out with their new religious problems, which are if you have a religion, you believe in a higher power, you are mentally ill. We see that states are enforcing gun laws according to mental illnesses, California going back and retro enforcing or going back to enforce gun or mental illness to their new laws. Their new laws say that if you have a mental illness, certain mental illnesses can have your gun confiscated. They are going back now after they pass a law and seeing who has these illnesses, and they're taking the guns of those people.
Right. Exactly.
That's just one state, and as we see with the gay marriage, this thing is Because the game picks up, it's picking up state by state. As more states sign on, this persecution is going to continue because they don't. Gay marriage and Christianity does not go along. True Christianity does not go one and the same.
Right. This is exactly, and this is where why we say we bring you the news in 3D. We look beyond the headlines and look beyond the bylines. Here is the actual battleground. We will identify for you the actual battleground here, what's happening in America right now. What's taking place is an increasing hostility and intolerance toward Christians, their beliefs, their values, that many perceive to be an attack itself on religious freedom. Here, if you want to know where the fight is, where the battle line is, where the line in the sand is, where the armed hand-to-hand combat is taking place, here is where it is. It is on the front lines. It is against the Christian culture. The battle is taking place with the gay or homosexual agenda and the abortion and birth control as well. These are where the battles are taking place, though.
Yeah, the women's health rights issue, aka baby murder.
These are their methods of actually attacking Christians. They are increasing their hostility and intolerance toward Christians' beliefs, and if you're pro Christian or if you're openly Christian, you are thereby by default anti homosexual, anti-gay marriage, you're pro-life, and this is right there.
No. Anti-women's rights. No pro-life.
To add the sarcasm to it, but there's a real concern that the growing insistence that faith be privatized, it's actually become a demand for faith to be compromised. Folks, understand what's going on here. They're using issues like the homosexual or same-sex marriage and the ban on the morning after pill and all of these social issues and attacking Christianity and Judeo-Christian principles, using those as tools. That's where the combat lines are. So the recent decision to require that most religious institutions, including Catholic hospitals and schools, to pay for contraception, sterilizations and the morning after pill those are open exhibits for many and for all of us. This is about government coercion of religious individuals and about government coercion of our freedoms, of our individual rights and those of our institutions where we worship.
Right. And now are these people becoming more confident in coming after Christians?
Well, when you've got the most powerful man in the world calling up and congratulating whatever guy that was that came out of the closet and saying he's homosexual and celebrating homosexuality and celebrating infanticide and celebrating these as this new redefinition or redefining our moral and Christian heritage, then of course this is going to embolden our enemies.
Now, we have the Bible, and we have through Genesis to Revelation, the book of the Bible. Now, we have from Genesis, we have Darwinism trying to go after and explain away what the Bible says about creation through science.
Right.
Now, in Revelation, we have them trying to explain away prophecy coming true in the end times as just the normal chain of events, our evolution.
Correct.
And they have you're right, on every front, from schools to sports, they are increasingly becoming more hostile. I have a list here. How are atheists becoming more aggressive in America?
Wait a second, though. Here's what's happening, though. But before you get into the list, I just want to say this. The government is going to make people choose between obeying the law and or adhering and following their faith.
The law being?
What?
Anti-faith, right. Your faith being illegal. faith in general being illegal, religion
right.
being illegal, the practicing of religion being illegal. Okay.
Right. It's kind of a sucker punch to our religious freedoms, if you look at it that way. Because, once again, if you look at the recent decisions, especially under Obamacare, to require religious institutions to pay for contraception, for us, you and I, to pay for this. And, of course, our tax dollars subsidizing the
yes. Did you abortion. See the most recent decision? There were 15-year-olds now
yes.
can buy the morning after pill
over
the counter. Right.
No questions asked, which is extremely tell me how much sense does this make that you cannot get Sudafed and Actifed over the counter, but a 15-year-old girl can. And by the way, if you've got to go to the pharmacist to get Sudafed and Actifed because of your allergies or whatever, and you've got a 15-year-old girl that can get the morning after pill off the shelf, no questions asked. Well, you've got to turn in your driver's license, fill out a form, sign your name, provide your DNA. I mean, how much sense does this make? There is a war against Christians right now taking place. Catholic charities in Illinois were shut down. Their adoption services.
Schools, churches.
Look, this is absolutely getting insane. In fact, recently a Christian counselor was penalized for refusing to advise homosexual couples. A clerk in New York State was told to issue same-sex marriage licenses despite religious reservations, yet the Muslim working at Walmart refuses to touch a package of bacon. They accommodate that person. How much sense does this make? And do we have to draw you a picture?
Right.
That we're under attack?
This is why the title is so important, Separating Fact versus Fiction, because many people out there are saying this is not true. You know, Christianity is not under attack. Getting to this list of how atheists are becoming more aggressive in America. Billboards promoting atheism and attacking Christianity have popped up across the country. 2, American Humanist Association has launched a special website for children to indoctrinate them in atheism. 3, an atheist rally in D.C. last year had special promotion to encourage kids to attend their atheist camps. 4, atheists have been increasingly using terms like child abuse to describe efforts of Christians to seek to teach children about creation, heaven, and hell. Many atheists claim that children belong to the community, not their parents. Where have we heard that before? Melissa Harris Perry. Atheists have actively opposed any effort in public schools to even question a belief of evolution or suggest there is any problems with it. Now, that is a short list off of a article I'm reading about intolerant atheists viciously attacking a Christian school, and this was about the homeschooling aspect. But this is not a comforting trend we are seeing. This is not a, especially for Christians, obviously, for Christians, something that we want to see, but this is something that is happening, and we're going to have to deal with it. And we kind of know where this road is going to go. They will ban outright the name of the Lord and his word being the Bible in America. And what are you going to do when they do that? And then you take it a step further, what are you going to do when they ask you, do you trust Jesus or do you need food?
that's a very good picture, insight into the future. But let's go back in history for a second here. Winston Churchill said this: the desire to believe something is much more pervasive or persuasive than rational argument. Like, for example, like ancient Israel, who wanted a king so badly that they refused to listen to God. So people today are prone to want what they want, and they don't care about the consequences. And whether this goes for the lifestyle issues or whatever, think about that. If everyone wants it, who can resist the momentum that's being created that we're seeing right before our very eyes? You see, the majority of people want to go here. They want this this so-called equal rights. A lot of people on the right, the Christian conservatives, are adhering to this because they feel, well, we have to be tolerant and all-inclusive. And Steve was right when he was on the program saying that, you know, that
it's impossible.
You
unless
can't
you have a one-world secular system or a one-world system that has one leader that people put all their hopes and faith into, or have to put all their hopes and faith into.
That's right. And, you know, you think that this might be a new thing taking place here. This is a New World Order tactic. I think back to the 1980s.
New World Order tactic with a very old World Order feel, if you have read the Bible.
Well, if you want to have some insight into the tactics of what's taking place here, we've seen this in the early 1980s when AIDS was always in the headlines. Remember that, folks. You see, the homosexual movement in America was devastated since this AIDS virus was most rampant in their communities. The homosexuals knew that the perception, knew that AIDS was viewed as a homosexual disease. That was gaining momentum. The question was, how could the perceptions be changed? And isn't this all about perception? It really is. When you talk about whether it's the same-sex marriage, the homosexual agenda, whatever it might be. Think back to the 80s and just briefly look back. A group of homosexuals decided that they were in need of a propaganda campaign that would change their image. They intentionally used Hitler's methods. That's right, I said it. Hitler's methods of propaganda to formulate their approach. In fact, Eric Pollard, does that name ring a bell to you? Folks, we have to remember history. Eric Pollard, the founder of ACT UP, a very militant homosexual group, by the way, openly admitted that Hitler's Mein Kampf was the model used for the group's strategy of propaganda. So, just in brief, the strategy is a combination of both lies and intimidation. And this is what we're seeing today.
Yeah, and Joseph Goebbels.
Right.
And he was the main propagandist, but yeah. And I've studied a lot about Nazi Germany and the people involved, but from Dr. Mengele to Hitler to Joseph Goebbels, it didn't matter. What they were filled with was the spirit of the Antichrist, as many leaders throughout the history of the world have been. And this goes directly against the Lord. They will do anything to exalt themselves, their teachings, their science, their propaganda above what the Lord says and what the Lord promised.
Very good. Well, getting back to Eric Pollard for a moment, he quoted from Mein Kampf, and he was back in the 80s, he was in the news all the time, and he said, the magnitude of a lie always contains a certain factor of credibility. Folks, this is important. When you see something on the internet and it's a lie, or if you read something in the paper, you know it's a lie, or you hear something and you know it's a lie, there's usually a seed of credibility, there's a fact to it. Because the great masses of the people in the very bottom of their hearts tend to be corrupted rather than conspicuously and purposely evil. And that, therefore, in view of the primitive simplicity of their minds, they more easily fall victim to a big lie rather than a small one. That's what we have to keep in our minds. These are the tactics being used. Let's expose the tactics and call them for what they are. Now, Pollard did say that, and so did Hitler, a big lie will always remain in people's minds. And he quoted Hitler back then as, he said, by clever and persevering use of propaganda, even heaven can be represented as hell to the people, and conversely, the most wretched life as paradise. Remember, all of this, folks, is sold under the banner of tolerance. So how do the homosexuals intend to represent heaven as hell and hell as heaven? Think back, 1987, an article was published. It was titled The Overhauling of Straight America. And in 1990, a book was published It was called After the Ball, which details their plan. It has their plans. Well, they've succeeded beyond their wildest dreams. And woe to anybody, for example, who dares to swim against this cultural stream. And if you read the book, and I've got the book here somewhere, The Homosexual Agenda, authors Sears and Olson outline how the homosexual movement has transformed America. Folks, this is a communist plank. They summarize the methods homosexuals have used to promote their movements and change the attitude of Americans toward their cause. This is what they're doing. So the battle lines, the actual battle is being fought with the homosexual agenda as the key force, followed by the women's rights, as you pointed out.
Yeah.
Okay.
And this all comes from the government. Remember the social norms, behavioral norms?
Yes.
Paper. Well, in here it says governments can alter people's behaviors by changing the conditions influencing those behaviors. These are often called choice architecture.
Exactly.
And this is just one sentence in a PDF of sentences put together describing how they can successfully implement this change incrementally to cause the least amount of resistance and the most amount of damage.
I'm glad you brought that up, because the authors of the book I mentioned, After the Ball, Marshall Kirk and Hunter Kirk Madsen, say that homosexuals must talk about gays and gayness as loudly and as often as possible. Because they argue that all behavior begins to look normal if you are exposed to it long enough and close enough and among your acquaintances and on television and in newspapers and on the internet. It becomes normal. They write, basically you're wearing out the opposition, but they write that the main thing is to talk about gayness until the issue becomes thoroughly tiresome. Thus, they want to wear opponents down to the point of total fatigue until we as Christians are willing to give into their agenda. This is exactly what we're seeing take place. And once again, we're seeing it take place in the military, as we discussed, the war against Christianity. It's not really a war against Christianity. It's war against God. It's a war against the God principles. It's a war against the biblical principles, I should say, the God's commandments. It's a war against the moral and cultural and the fabric of America and our heritage, the Christian heritage. The developing fear is that government will make people choose once again between obeying the law and following their faith. And of course, the flashpoint is, as I said, the one between religious liberty and the homosexual movement.
Well, I guess we can only refer to God. We're going to have to be not careful, but bold. We're going to have to be firm in our faith. And these religious crackdowns don't happen for the president, apparently, as we hear this.
As long as we've got a fight to make sure women have access to quality, affordable health care, and as long as we've got to fight to protect a woman's right to make her own choices about her own health, I want you to know that you've also got a president who's going to be right there with you, fighting every step of the way. Thank you, Planned Parenthood. God bless you. God bless America.
Well, I don't know what God he is worshiping. But we need to pray for him if it is Jesus. And I doubt that, and I have lots of reason to. And I'm not judging him, but he does need prayer because he is very deceived.
I just want to acknowledge, and folks, thank you for your emails, director at HomelandSecurityUS.com. That's director at HomelandSecurityUS.com. I want to thank you, Jean, for your email. She writes, "Hi, Doug and Joe. There is an ultimate goal, a strategic goal of this agenda, the strategic goal of pro-gay marriage force farce movement is not about homosexual marriage or child adoption. all of that is a political smokescreen for the low information voters, which, by the way, include millions of 20-somethings who know nothing of history and the destruction of a nation. The real goal of the pro-gay marriage farce movement is to create a perfect storm to remove the church's IRS 501c3 tax exemption status. Now, if you think about this, and if you look at this from an analytical point of view, wow. The satanic perfect storm is designed to force genuine Christian churches into financial poverty by having their IRS 501c3 tax exempt status is revoked. I'm paraphrasing from this email. If the U.S. Supreme Court ever declares homosexual marriage to be a federal right, similar to Roe v. Wade, then U.S. churches that are tax exempt under the 501c3 IRS tax code and our federal contractors will be obligated to honor the U.S. federal government's policies toward homosexual marriage. It will be a repeat of the U.S. Constitution's removal of the tax exempt status of Bob Jones University in 1973, because that university refused to allow interracial dating and marriage. Christian churches will be given the ultimatum, actually the federal ultimatum, to either serve God or serve mammon. And that's, Gene, thank you very much for that email, and very insightful, always insightful, but that's very good.
Folks, you're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report this Friday, May 3rd. We are already up against the top of the first hour. When we come back, more news on the other side, taking your phone calls in the third hour. Stay with us.
If you love pineapple as much as I do, I've got some great news for you. You're going to love this offer from Freeze Dry Guy. For the month of May, Freeze Dry Guy is offering the finest quality freeze-dried pineapple, a case of 6 number 10 cans yielding 114 servings at a special introductory price. First quality freeze-dried pineapple grown and packed with nothing added. This healthy treat works wonders with salad. It's great for snacking, hiking, hunting, camping, and for adding to your food storage program. And please note that Freeze Dry Guy's foods will store on your shelf for decades. Order now and get free shipping to your front door within the lower 48 states. This special introductory price is good until May 31st. For more information and a free complete product list, go to freezedryguy.com or phone 866-404-3663. FreezeDryGuy.com, 866-404-3663.
Folks, I just want to say this. The Freeze Dry Guy, this May monthly special, 100% freeze-dried pineapple, number 10 cans. I got to tell you, man, this stuff is great if you like to snack on it, but you got to be careful because it's so concentrated, so sweet that you could actually kind of you develop like sores in your mouth if you consume it by the bucketful, okay? But it's a great deal. Take advantage of it. The offer runs from May 1st through May 31st, number 10 cans, and it's through Freeze Dry Guy. Just go to HomelandSecurityUS.com, click on the link to Freeze Dry Guy. Speaking of sponsors, I want to thank Grandland Firearms. They're, of course, a sponsor to our program. Folks, their T-shirt, I've got to tell you, I got more comments on the T-shirt by Grandland Firearms. If you do nothing else, just you've got to get yourself one of these T-shirts. Guns don't kill people. Governments kill people. And that's the front of the T-shirt. And it's if you look at it, it has like this 3D effect to it. I can't really quite explain it, but it's very nicely done. It's a great T-shirt. It's a black T-shirt with a white impression on the front. I love mine. I wear it a lot. When I purposely wear it, especially to liberal events or progressive events, I'm just kidding on that. But folks, look it up, Granlund Firearms. Go to HomelandSecurityUS.com, click on the link to Granlund Firearms of British Columbia, and you can get yourself one of these T-shirts. It's just fantastic. In addition to that, they've got all kinds of survival gear and what have you. So tell them Doug and Joe Hagman sent you. They're great people. They'll help you out, and they've got a listing of current inventory of firearms and what have you. So, which is available, by the way, if you're living in the United States or living wherever my voice reaches. Just check with your local laws or federal firearm dealer, licensed dealer here in the United States, and you can order from them via your licensed dealer here in the U.S. That's Granlund Firearms. Just go to HomelandSecurityUS.com, click on the link, and sign their guest book. Tell them Doug and Joe sent you.
You better wake up fast and listen to this, America. The Obama campaign has launched attack squads disguised as truth teams dedicated to intimidating and silencing all political dissent carried over the internet that criticizes the Marxist Obama. Truth Squad specifically focused on covering up Obama's endless trail of lies, corruption, and subversion, and using the Gestapo power of our own government to police and censor the internet and shut down websites that dare to carry the real truth about Obama's Marxist coup. Remember the names of these Gestapo-style agencies at work right there in your neighborhood: KeepingHisWord.com, KeepingGOPHonest.com, and AttackWatch.com. KGB, SS, and Gestapo-style police state gangster organizations at work to silence the important voices of patriot dissent, some of which have already been shut down by Obama's orders. Adolf Hitler would have been proud. We're the 21st century Tea Party Patriots.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the Hagman and Hagman Report this Friday, May 3rd, 2013, as time is just flying by. We're going to hit a bunch of news stories this hour and take your calls in the next hour. We got a few sound bites we're going to play and stories we're going to hit that are kind of miscellaneous and all over the place, but they need to be talked about. First, Obama is blaming American guns for Mexican deaths. Today, in a speech, Obama said this.
And in the United States, we recognize our responsibility. We understand that much of the root cause of violence that's been happening here in Mexico, for which so many Mexicans have suffered, is the demand for illegal drugs in the United States. And so we've got to continue to make progress on that front. I've been asked, and I honestly do not believe that legalizing drugs is the answer, but I do believe that a comprehensive approach, not just law enforcement, but education and prevention and treatment, that's what we have to do. And we're going to have to stay at it because the lives of our children and the future of our nation depend on it. And we also recognize that most of the guns used to commit violence here in Mexico come from the United States.
Perpetrar la violencia en México provienen de los Estados Unidos.
I think many of you know that in America our Constitution guarantees our individual right to bear arms. And as President, I swore an oath to uphold that right, and I always will. But if
all right. It was hard to listen to because of the translator. But Obama said most of the guns used to commit violence here in Mexico come from the United States. And if that is the case, then Obama, you are directly responsible in your term as president for this. Who brings guns? Who's smuggling guns to Mexico? You have drug dealers and gangs here, few and far between, compared to the massive scale we saw Fast and Furious take on the AK-47s and other weapons and shipping them directly to drug cartels in exchange for information. And we know that the government made deals with the Sinaloa drug cartel even when somebody was pulled over at the border with 4 tons of cocaine in the car, they were let go because they were used by the CIA and the federal government in bringing down other cartels.
You know, I've got an email from, again, we're going to be, by the way, I want to welcome new listeners to the second hour of our program, to the station's picking us up. God bless you. Thank you for doing so. We are going to be, along with Susan Price, priceforjustice.com, we're going to be near Raleigh, North Carolina, June 8th and 9th, 7th, 8th, and 9th, supporting Susan Price and also presenting some things with her about the New World Order and about how things are going taking place. But, Joe, I got an email from the pastor of the Baptist Church where we're going to be about the CIA gun running and such. He writes, and I don't think I'm speaking out of school by reading this. This was an email back the end of last month. He said, when we served as missionaries in Honduras, we had someone who had been involved in the Brazilian drug cartel and had done drugs for arms trades with the Russian and the Chinese in Mexico, who had become a believer. He sat in our living room. And he flat out told us that the CIA was the biggest drug running organization in the world. This pastor sent me this email. Okay. And I probably should have clarified this better. Pastor Randy Umberger sent me an email and explained it. This is the end of last month, and said when he was serving as a missionary in Honduras, there was a gentleman there that was involved in the Brazilian drug cartel. He had done drug runs for arms trades with the Russians and the Chinese in Mexico, who had he had since become a believer. But he sat in the living room in this mission, and he flat out told the pastor that the CIA was the biggest drug running and arms running organization in the world. He told us that when you see our government supposedly take down drug groups, that all they're doing are taking down the competition. Now, I had this verified by someone that I call the intelligence insider. There are actually in laboratories, and I'll say this, hopefully I'm not going to get spanked for it, but there are ways, I'll just say it this way, there are ways that the CIA can tell if it's their drugs or the competition's drugs, where their drugs are coming from. It's in the process. There's a chemical process.
Yeah, anybody who wants a short, quick history of the CIA involved in drug running, just look up during first Bush years in Central America or second Bush and Obama in Afghanistan.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm going to tell you, the back in the 80s with Barry Seal and all that, but Pastor Umber adds this, and this kind of blew me away when I read this. He said that he saw 5 different bogus passports that this man had, and he had met some of his contacts in the CIA while this pastor was there. So here's a pastor from America in Honduras with a man who became a born-again Christian and was part of the ministry, and telling him about all of these things, and then actually saw these bogus passports. But get this, here is the kicker. He was recruited, the man I'm talking about with the bogus passports, the mule, if you will, he was recruited into the drug trade by a cousin who was a colonel in the U.S. military and was using military aircraft to run the drugs. So there you have it. I mean, so when Obama gets out there and saying, you know, well, the guns come from the United States, really? Under the government operation.
Net of protection, yeah, the government mafia.
And one more thing, I have to get this in because being a fan of Chris Matthews, I'm just kidding there, but just watching Chris Matthews is entertaining. I just have a lot of entertainment when I watch him. He says this, he said this today when about Obama's statement that we played. He said, I'm trying to figure out why this country isn't getting reflected in or on Congress, in the Congress. It's a bother. In a democracy, you'd like to think that what you really, boy, this guy talks like I do, I think. In a democracy, you'd like to think that what you really deep down feel, now the only way to explain it is problems with the polling, which you can always talk about. And it's this visceral thing. Now, here's the money statement. Here's the big statement. It's the guy, mostly the guy, the white guy, mostly, who is gun-absorbed. So let's be honest about it. Absorbed with any, or absorbed without putting a negative on it. Just really believes in the Second Amendment, cares deeply about it, and is going to remember every one of these voting opportunities. He's going to take that position. The reason I threw that in there, and it was a pretty disambiguated statement there, but the reason I threw that in there is to show you how the progressive media is framing the Second Amendment with what Obama said about the Mexicans and such, about the Mexican, where the guns come from, America to Mexico and such. And you've got these cheerleaders of the progressives, the biggest one of which I believe is Chris Matthews and MSNBC. But think about that. Yeah, but think about that statement. Here it is. He's equating the Second Amendment in response to what Obama had said in the context of a larger conversation, but equating the Second Amendment with the white guy. I know. And when I heard it, it sounded kind of really kind of funky in terms of how he was saying it. But the statement that really caught my eye was the racial aspect of this and the, this guy's visceral hatred for the Second Amendment.
And himself, obviously. I mean, he is no fan of white people. Not that we should, you know, be held together by racial lines, but this guy, a promoter of, you know, freedom for everybody, is sure the one to make the distinctions here all the time. But moving on here, this is important, the job numbers in America. Real job numbers, 41% of America is unemployed. One in three doesn't work at all. That was an article from 2012 in October. What do you think that's like now?
Oh,
41% does not work in America.
Well, no, they're talking about the entirety of America, men, women.
Correct.
Of working age, regardless of desire or ability or whatever. So that's an all-inclusive figure. Of course,
so
that's not
what it's really. This article says 58.7% of American adults are working. If an actual employment population ratio is taken into consideration, leaving about 82 million or 41% of people unemployed. Now, this is from October, and I bring this up because there's a new article from today out about small businesses. Death of small businesses. Number of self-employed Americans at all-time low. And this is important. This speaks to self-sustainability. This speaks to self-preservation. The unemployment rate in the United States is at a four-year low, but another labor stat is shrinking in not a such favorable way. A decline in the number of self-employed Americans suggests the personal businesses will soon be a thing of the past. It means everybody will have a boss. Since the Great Depression, the number of Americans who identify themselves in the workforce as self-employed as a share of non-farm employment has been getting smaller. Some economists now say that the U.S. major recession that started in 2007 will soon send that stat straight down to zero. Is it really going to be the recession that did it, or is it the policies of this administration and the overall attitude of the government? That's not in the article. That's me adding that. The number of self-employed Americans at the end of World War II was roughly one quarter of the country's population. But during the length of just the 1960s, that section shrank from nearly 20% to being barely in the double digits. From the 70s through the first half of the 90s, the rate stayed consistent. But just before the start of the century, the stats have been smaller than ever. That figure is continuing to decrease, and as a result, is a major drop in the number of self-employed workers due to the recent recession is ravaging what once was a viable way of making a living. Now, obviously, with people running their own businesses, self-employment, they hire people. they're self-employed just doesn't mean one person not having a boss working for themselves. This is small businesses, small companies, small factories, services and products. This covers every area of our economical GDP, pretty much. I mean, you have people that are even in the military. You have Blackwater, the craft now. They're a private organization. Not everybody works for a franchise or a corporation. Well, now, what they're turning this into by these, remember the Obamacare waivers that was given to McDonald's, or given to Walmart, the tax exemptions that these big corporations, these donors to political campaigns are given. It's not a free market or pushing small businesses away. It is a fascist government giving corporations more power.
Right. It's not capitalism. This is a fascism at play here, at work here. Let's just take a few facts that will tell you where we are economic-wise. Just kind of a sobering reminder. If you think things are good right now, if you think that we're in a recovery, think about this. The six heirs of the Walmart fortune, the six heirs of Walmart, of course, founder Sam Walton, they have as much wealth as the bottom one-third of all Americans combined. Now think about that statement for a moment. The six heirs of the Walmart fortune, if you will, the founder Sam Walton, have as much wealth as the bottom one-third of all Americans combined. And converse to that, the 400 wealthiest Americans have more wealth than the bottom 150 million Americans combined. So the gap is widening between the rich and the poor. This, when I had talked with my source within DHS, he had said that this regime, the Obama regime, would exacerbate the gap between the rich and the poor, and there would be a war, not only racial strife, but a war between the haves and the have-nots that will take full effect when the economy and the dollar collapses.
Let me jump in here if I can. The haves and the have-nots. We're talking about a materialistic line. Are you okay with being a have-not as far as money is concerned and food is concerned, as long as you have the Lord? And
yeah,
that's the question each and every person needs to ask themselves, because if that's not okay with you, you're not doing things properly right now.
You know, I just want to say this, too. The have and the have-nots is probably a statement more reflective of my generation, as I, growing up, would hear that statement a lot. So it's not a reflection, by the way, just so people know, it's not a reflection of anything spiritual. It's or anything other than a way to describe the disparity between those with the money and those that don't have the money. But your distinction, Joe, is duly noted, because the spiritual element here is what counts, especially as we go into this economic collapse. You know, Steve, I don't think was filled with hyperbole when he was talking about this. We're going to look worse than, you know, you're going to wish. I think what the statement was, you're going to wish that you were in Nazi Germany, to the extent that you're going to see so many things go sideways and wrong. And I know that scares some people to think about that.
And this is why we stress prepping for food and water for those who can and want to. Because it's not necessarily just for you or your family. We don't know who we can help if you're called to store supplies. I mean, things could change in such a way where we will live in unrest and without communications, without emergency services, electricity, lights, water, et cetera. And some people will have a bunch of food stored. Now, when there's a family walking down the street, barefoot, pretty much starving, are you going to be that family, which would be okay, or are you going to be the people that can take them in and help them? And that is something we need to consider. Some people don't plan on being around that long either. So that goes into what they consider when they're making this decision. But that's a personal decision that you and the Lord need to come to with preparations, making preparations, what preparations should be made. And when we stress prepping, it's not to have our own earthly treasures or our own hordes of food here so we're always protected, because we know that food doesn't protect us. We know guns don't protect us. We know we only have one protector. And a lot of people get that confused.
You know, and I think that's very important to really drive home, because there will be stress. You know, we all have stresses in our lives right now, getting the kids to school. And I mean, I was talking with my wife, folks, and I don't know, conversation, it drifts to different things. And you think, well, my goodness, can you imagine being the president of the United States and the stress you'd be under? Well, it's a different kind of stress. The stress that American families feel, it's a much different stress than people at higher levels feel. You, listening to this program, I'm sure you don't have a group of people to help you, to transport you, take care of your travel arrangements, to take your children to school, to, if you have pets, to handle your pets, or, I mean, the things that, you know, cause stresses in your life. If you have a medical issue, the president, for example, I mean, if he sneezes, a doctor is right there to take care of him. And that goes for most of the politicians and most of the elected officials in Congress. So the stresses that the average American family faces today, or the average Canadian family, or the average listener in whatever country you're listening in, your stresses are much more personal, much more severe. And this is where I believe that, at least with me personally, you've got to put things in perspective, and also you've got to rely more on your Christian or your Jesus beliefs, as Steve calls them. But I think as well, you've got to anticipate what we're heading into. And then from there, you know, putting things in perspective, because things are going to get a lot worse. I heard Mr. Schiff talking today. Definitely on one of the money channels, saying that soon the Fed is going to stop printing money. They have to. Or adding zeros to the digital decimal ledgers.
Maybe when paper dries up.
Well, yeah, but at that point, according to Mr. Schiff, is when the game really gets fun, in his words. In other words, things are going to really, you're going to see hyperinflation. You're going to see prices going up. Right now, for every American family, I mean, it's very difficult to make a living. If you are listening to this broadcast out there and you're saying, you know, I'm not making it. I'm working. My wife's working. I'm working not only a full-time, but a part-time job. Think about this. I just lost my note here. At one point, one out of every four American workers, at this point, one out of four, every four American workers has a job that pays $10 an hour or less. My goodness, how can, you know, it's difficult.
It's paycheck to paycheck. It's how most people live. It's how I live. It's how you live. And it's how I think we're going to always live from here on out. There's too much increase of taxes, too much government grabbing of money in all ways and sectors of life and places they have no business being in, whether it's registering your car to getting a license for fishing to, I mean, just all these things that they have stretched their grubby little hands into. And what
That's we right.
were talking about 2 years ago when we first started doing the show, that all commerce, government now has its hands in 50% of all commerce in the U.S. I wouldn't wonder what that number looks like today. But moving along here, I'm going to play this clip from RT. There are some stunning facts about money expenditures in here, especially when it comes to the police state. How much of our tax dollars have went towards funding the American police state? You're not going to believe this. You ready? You want me to play this?
Let's rock and roll with this. And folks, pay attention to this because
this is
very important facts in this.
Yeah, very important. Big Brother broken, lavish surveillance shattered by Boston bombings. And the message in here is good.
This is RT, more world news for you now. Many U.S. government officials are calling for tougher national security measures in the wake of the deadly Boston bombings. But more than a decade of multi-billion-dollar surveillance at the expense of civil liberties has failed to prevent terror at home. As RT's Marina Portnaya reports, experts say Washington's security strategy has already cost far more than it's worth.
September 11th, 2001. Terrorism claims the lives of nearly 3,000 Americans, and the construction of a supersized U.S. security paradigm begins. Surveillance technology has become the driving force behind Washington's counterterrorism strategy. Bodies scanned at airports, faces filmed on the streets, and social media closely monitored in cyberspace.
There has been a severe denigration of civil rights and civil liberties, and the aggregation of power by federal government authorities and by law enforcement against individuals.
Since 2001, around $790 billion has reportedly been spent on cementing America's homeland security apparatus, a platinum wall of defense easily shattered by inexpensive pressure cookers, ball bearings, nails, and a free bomb-building manual that could be found on the Internet.
You just can't prevent terrorism in the current model with these surveillance technologies. I can go into a Rite Aid and walk out with the makings of a bomb. I can build a bomb in my own house, put it in a backpack, put it on a street corner, and kill 15 or 20 people.
Three people died and more than 270 were hospitalized last month after twin bombs exploded near the Boston Marathon finish line, a terrorist attack in broad daylight that no camera or law enforcement official was able to prevent.
I believe this was a massive failure of the surveillance state that we've created in America. Since 9/11, we have spent over $700 billion on national security, and a lot of that is surveillance.
With the help of surveillance video, the FBI was eventually able to identify the Boston bombing suspects. However, the best images did not come from a public camera. The video was reportedly filmed by a private camera belonging to the department store Lord & Taylor.
Every publicly installed camera, for every camera that the NYPD puts out or Bloomberg or Kelly puts out or some security agency puts out, there's anywhere from 30 to 50 privately installed cameras. They're being installed everywhere. It's a panopticon. Everywhere you go, you're being watched.
In New York City, the U.S. capital of surveillance, 4,000 security cameras are mounted just in Lower Manhattan alone. Facial recognition has become the new normal in the Big Apple, and recently, city officials proclaimed privacy to be off the table.
The attacks in Boston and the news that New York City was next on the terrorist list shows just how critical it is for the federal government to devote resources to high-risk areas. It also shows just how crucial it is for the NYPD to continue to gather, to expand its counterterrorism capabilities and intelligence gathering activities.
Meanwhile, the U.S. president is questioning whether his administration needs to apply new strategies to tackle domestic terrorism.
Are there more things that we can do, whether it's engaging with communities where there's a potential for self-radicalization of this sort? Is there work that can be done in terms of detection?
Detecting terror in the homeland, 11 and a half years after America's global war on terror began. Marina Portnaya, RT, New York.
So, $790 billion later, we are just as safe as we were before 9/11, which is to say, not safe at all. There's no guarantee of safety ever. But $790 billion for surveillance cameras, fusion centers, DHS, your tax money. But when a bombing happens, and they have facial recognition software and cameras on every little corner and stoplight in the area, it still takes them 4 days to figure out who people are. Isn't that amazing?
Let's talk about the Boston bombings just for a moment here, folks. Look, if you believe for one moment that the FBI needed your help to identify the two brothers, at the very least, the two brothers, remember when they showed those photographs? They knew who they were. Through, obviously, as Joe mentioned, the facial recognition software, there was faces on the crowd, meaning that there was surveillance, direct surveillance there. We know that. We know that there was the recognition of the Saudi national, Al Harbi, who was present at the finish line as well and was injured, sent to a hospital, and then magically changed from a top terrorist or being classified as a top terrorist to a foreign dignitary. And we have reason to believe that he has been escorted or sent first class back to his country of origin, that being Saudi Arabia. Again, first class compliments of your tax dollars. Who do we have to thank for this initiation of the police state, the $790 billion market? This is the militarization, the military, industrial, diplomatic, industrial complex, whatever you want to call it. This is what we're seeing. Why? Well, is it for protection? Is it to protect the United States? Is it to protect you, the citizen? I don't believe that. I don't believe that the surveillance cameras are being used or intended to be used for that purpose. Joe, what do you think about this?
I think it's all a ploy for more control, more money, and that's it. I mean, really, that's all it comes down to, is just the government control over the people and the control of the money.
But we saw how easy it was for the Patriot Act. Oh, it sounded like such a great idea after 9/11, and then to be turned inward against the very citizens who are the backbone of this country, the Second Amendment, people who believe in the rights of the Second Amendment, people who believe in the freedoms, people who, and folks, if you're not angry about what's taking place here in America, then you're not paying attention. But anger aside, they're turning the entire apparatus, the security apparatus, against the patriots and against the Christians who believe that this country was founded Judeo-Christian principles, morals, the integrity, and yet we are the targets, the new targets now, and the game has changed, if you will. It's not really a game, but the whole tactics, the whole program has changed. We are now the targets, and it's this European mindset, this Rothschild influence of Obama on this country that has infiltrated or is really guiding this whole agenda of surveillance of this police state. This is definitely a prison planet. Alex Jones got it right when he had his website Prison Planet. I certainly would name it that at this point, Prison Planet. That's where we're at. We are prisoners in our own nation. And those listening to us in London, in the UK, and we have listeners there, you know you can't walk down the street without having two or three cameras on you at any given time. Perhaps the camera capital of the world, surveillance camera capital of the world. This is taking place. And by the way, if you're listening to us in Canada, this is coming to a city to you. The Canadian intelligence agencies are working with the provinces up there, as well as the municipal police agencies, but that's not the correct term. It's the equivalent of the municipal police agencies to broaden their police state. So this is global. This is not just here in the United States. So regardless of where you're listening to us, there's nowhere to run from this, folks. I received an email today from a woman saying, well, Nathan Leal last night was talking about what's going to take place in the United States. Well, folks, or her question was, where can I go? Well, in talking with Holly Dale, again.
You got a spaceship?
Yeah, you're going to need one.
Yeah.
Because there's nowhere to run. And I've got to tell you, when I was speaking with Holly, she was talking about the best places to live. She's finalizing her disc, Prudent Places USA. It should be available at the end of next month. If you want to drop her an email, just tell her hi and ask her when it's going to be done, or even ask her a question. She'll be receptive to you. Just let her know that you heard about this on our program. Not for our reasons, but I mean, that way she can kind of understand where the question is coming from, or where the comment or whatever is coming from. But we were talking about the different states, the best places to live. And she was explaining to me the scale that she used. For example, the worst state, all around state, the bottom of the barrel is California, followed by New York, and then I can't remember what else. And I think the best states were North Dakota and South Dakota.
Yeah.
Those were on economic factors, personal liberties and such.
John Stossel just did a piece on that. You can find it. I'll put it in the chat room, because I was going to – it was a five-minute video. I was going to – I actually downloaded it and didn't upload it about the freest states in the
country. Well, I think that was one of several – parts of a matrix that was used, that she used to identify the best states to live, and that's as of 2013. But I was just really surprised at the in her upgrade for this new Prudent Places USA to her old one, how drastically things have changed over the last 10 years. They've changed drastically.
And back to when we were talking about the Boston bombings, we know that there were drills going on with the bomb squad. And did the drills turn live, or was this an actual act of terrorism? Well, let's go to this story. Teachers shocked, frightened, as school holds unplanned shooting drill. Teachers were shocked and caught off guard when an Oregon school held a school shooting drill. This from the Oregon Pine Eagle Charter School and held a drill last Friday as children were home for an in-service day. Two masked gunmen burst into a meeting room holding 15 teachers firing blanks. Teachers only realized it wasn't a real shooting when none of them were bleeding. There was a lot of commotion, the principal said. Teachers were frightened about what happened. Now, going back to the drills. Look at Sandy Hook. We had reports of masked men in the woods. There were actually detained. There was reports out of the Newton B that the man detained in the woods was a tactical SWAT team officer from another jurisdiction who had a gun, but it was
How did that happen?
There were reports of many different things and people that didn't make sense. A lot of commotion in the reporting, a lot of misinformation, disinformation thrown in there also. But how will we know? How would we know that this was a drill if, we'll say, the teachers were killed? It would never come out that they were holding a drill.
Well, yeah, that's a good point that you make. Yeah. How would we know?
Now, looking back on Boston and all the other incidents that they were running drills on, 7-7-3-3, 9-11, et cetera, how many of these were drills gone bad, like the 93 World Trade Center bombing, which was really a arrest gone bad, or maybe not?
The story or the official narrative of the 1993 World Trade Center bombing is one that everyone should really look into and understand. And I know our audience is very well educated in these historical events, these false flag operations. I use that term perhaps improperly here or too broadly. I don't mean to imply, for example, the first World Trade Center bombing was a false flag operation. What I'm saying is,
I do.
Well, okay, there are
maybe
certain elements. Right, by definition, okay.
But the FBI's own admission, they weren't supposed to use real explosives, so...
Right, and yeah, I'm talking about the being really technically correct in terms of what a false flag operation is, but this Oregon situation, to me, was one of the most egregious things I've ever seen. Imagine your wife, or even yourself, being here. You are, you're in a classroom. The children had the day off for an in-service day. And you've got these armed people bust into the school, two masked gunmen burst into a meeting room, hold 15, or where 15 teachers were inside this room.
What if one of them was armed?
Who
didn't know this was a drill?
Jeez.
You can see how all this could go wrong very fast, these unannounced drills.
Well, I don't even know how to describe. What's the purpose, really? Can someone explain to me what the purpose? You can explain what the purpose for not informing?
Somebody in chat wrote it perfectly, I would say. Wrote it in a way that makes the most sense. The more drills that they have, the more they can observe and correct their moves. The more drills they have, it is part of that. We talked about this with the urban training exercises. It is the conditioning. It is the getting people ready to see this. It is the expectation of having drills, or whether it be, it's the future of the gunman going to be everywhere. The helicopters or military is going to be everywhere. And we'll just look at one more quick story here from Houston. Houston man, this is a headline, Houston man killed at airport after attempting a mass shooting. Now listen to this first paragraph and then tell me if this is an attempted mass shooting. A man, Carnell Moore, entered Terminal B of the Bush International Airport on Thursday, pulled out a pistol, fired two rounds into the ceiling, sending a passerby into a frenzy before turning the gun on himself, while simultaneously being shot by the Department of Homeland Security. Now, how do we get a headline? Man killed at airport after attempting a mass shooting from a guy going into an airport, firing two bullets into the ceiling, and then killing himself. At the same time, the Department of Homeland Security, who I thought didn't carry guns, kills him.
Well, the headline's all wrong. The entire... The entire presentation of that is all wrong. But you know what this reminds me of? And this is the first thing I thought of, minus the self-inflicted gunshot wound. Back in 1963, September 20th, 1963, to be precise. Folks, do you know about Richard Case Nagel? That's Richard Nagel, N-A-G-E-L-L. Okay. If you want to do some research about the JFK assassination, one of the keys to the JFK assassination was this gentleman, Richard Case Nagel, because on September 20th, 1963, he walked into a bank and fired two shots into a wooden beam in the ceiling of the bank. Wasn't going to rob the bank, but he was doing it to establish an alibi. He did not, I mean, he was part of an operation. He realized he was part of an operation. He understood that there was no way out except to essentially be arrested or to have an alibi for the ultimate assassination of JFK. That's what this story reminded me of initially. I don't get the self-inflicted part on the part of this person. I'm not sure what this person was trying to do. I guess the reason I mentioned Richard Case Nagel with this Bush Airport shooting is, let's look at the man a little bit closer, see what his affiliations are or were, and let's add some dynamic perspective here to this, because there's more to this story than we're getting.
Okay. Back to the Boston situation. Do you know what the police said was the cause of death for the older brother? Because I just got some CNN breaking news on my phone. from the female.
I would say examination, which means just a complete loss of blood supply. But what was the cause of death?
Blunt force trauma and gunshot wounds.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if that's consistent or inconsistent with what the police say, but this was leaked by the funeral director where the older brother's body was or is being held. That was the cause of death.
Well,
apparently.
When I spoke to the gentleman I'll refer to as my intelligence insider, he flat out said this. We need a grand jury. We need a special investigation into the death of this man, the older brother. Okay, now, it's not because the older brother was a great guy that we need this investigation. It's not to clear him of any wrongdoing. It's not because, you know, he wasn't a terrorist. We need a special investigation into his death because things don't add up with the actions of the brothers, and we can have a long conversation about this. But here's the thing. We know, in fact, we're not being told the truth. We know for a fact that in the crowd, there was a Saudi national on the terrorist watch list. We know for a fact that these two brothers, along with how many other intelligence agencies were represented there at that finish line and near the finish line. But here's the thing. We know for a fact that there was FBI involvement and other agencies, intelligence agencies' involvement with the older brother. When you travel to Russia and then travel back using another passport,
I mean, just like the Christmas Day bomber gets on a plane with no passport from Amsterdam to the U.S. And I was talking about this with somebody the other day. The Christmas Day bomber, alleged bomber, goes
right
from Amsterdam on a flight from Amsterdam to the U.S. with no passport.
Correct.
Tries to blow up a plane over Detroit.
Right. You're talking about
lighting
that native
bullet explosive. Right. I mean, I wonder how often this happens where passports are not needed. And I wonder if they're not needed, if that isn't a special clearance or indicator as to their status in the government or with the government or something along those lines. Obviously, I wish anybody would try to get on an international flight without a passport. See how far you get.
Well, exactly. And this is why this Boston shooting needs to be examined, or the whole Boston situation. And perhaps the primary focus should be the death of the older brother, because it sounds a lot to me, for example, like the older brother was, I would say, the compartmentalized. The two brothers were compartmentalized in terms of their knowledge, but the older brother had, we'll say, a contact with intelligence agencies and may have been working with other intelligence agencies. It sounds an awful lot like they were, or maybe the older brother got a call and said, "Hey, you know what? Meet me at the 7-Eleven because we know that things went sideways, you know, on that day that you were supposed to take part in this exercise. So let's meet up here, you know, with his handler, and we will." We'll pay you for the day for whatever work you did or whatever, and we'll take care of you basically in terms of getting you out of this mess. This after, of course, they were identified by picture. There's something about that meeting. So I guess what I'm trying to say is there's something about that meeting that really, to me, stinks high heaven. Or this, when I say meeting, the events with respect to the robbery, the convenience store robbery, the shooting of the officer, the MIT officer. And then ultimately leading to the death of the older brother. I think that we're looking at this, and I want to thank Marianne for all of her research, because we've done a lot of research in this. If there was a place to look, this is where to look for the real nuggets of information. I believe we'll find our answers in this specific area. The older brother is the key that night. Their actions that night are the key. I believe. And we will do a program in the future to lay out what we know to be fact and what we know to be disinformation. But look, I believe that they were working for, or at least the older brother was working for our government as an operational asset. And we've seen this before. It fits the template. And if that's the case, then additional questions have to be answered, which is why we need a special investigation for this. Wow.
We're going to go to a break here in a minute, but before we do, there's a last audio I'm going to play of the night. This is talking about arming rebels officially. Intervention next from the U.S.
Washington's now officially considering arming the Syrian rebels, this after holding back for 2 years. It's all according to the Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel. The dramatic twist comes just days after U.S. officials claim that they have unconfirmed intelligence pointing to the use of chemical weapons by the Syrian regime. The latest report on the situation from Washington and RT's Guyana Chichikan.
So far, the administration has been reluctant to arm the rebels directly, although its allies have been doing that for the past 2 years. There have been persistent reports of increasing radicalization of anti-Assad forces. You have an al-Qaeda-affiliated group operating there, and the opposition generally welcomes their efforts, so the concerns are there. Now, the administration says it's rethinking arming Syrian opposition fighters. Secretary Hagel said the administration is considering a range of options. He also said he personally has not decided whether it would be wise to provide weapons to the rebels. So there is nothing definitive in those remarks at this stage, but the context of recent events has created a certain momentum, and this kind of momentum may end up bolstering those forces on the ground and actually result in more violence, because those fighters want weapons, and they want heavy weapons. Now, President Obama this week said if there is proof that Assad government, Assad forces have used chemical weapons in Syria, that would be, quote, a game changer. Again, he said the U.S. had evidence that the weapons were used, but had no conclusive evidence to tie it to the Assad government.
Okay. So they know nothing about nothing.
And folks, if you have not done so, I have a new article that I published today, HomelandSecurityUS.com. It's also featured on CanadaFreePress.com. There at CanadaFreePress.com, you can make comments if you so choose. And once again, I would really appreciate it if you look at the article, if you read the article. Just take about 5 minutes to read the article. It's fairly short, but it's called "Unraveling the Benghazi Cover-Up." And if you just click the like button underneath the title when you open it up, if you go to HomelandSecurityUS.com, and you can, like I said, leave comments again at FreePress.com. But here's the deal with this: what you just heard is really nothing but pablum for the masses. The United States, this is what Benghazi was all about. We have been arming the anti-Assad rebels. We are involved in nation building and in tearing down countries and replacing their leadership with Muslim Brotherhood shills on behalf of Saudi Arabia. Now, in my article, I reference the upcoming May 8th Committee on Oversight and Government Reform. This committee is going to conduct a single day-long hearing on the events that took place in Benghazi. Well, there are 5 questions that are posed in this article, one of which, I'll just read one of the 5. What purposes did the 5 Saudi Qatar-owned warehouses situated in and around Benghazi serve? Were they for holding arms? If that's the case, then why not just, if the arms were going to be disposed of as the buyback program, and that's perhaps a incorrect phrase or it's a phrase that really might not fit this, but if we are collecting arms in Libya for ultimate destruction, then why not leave them in the arms depots that were already situated? But what were the purposes of the five Saudi and Qatari-owned warehouses? Think about that, that were situated in and around Benghazi. What was that all about? Folks, understand this. When you're in court and there are lawyers asking questions, lawyers already know the answers to the questions that they're asking in a courtroom setting. Usually, I mean, that's the pretty much a rule. With this article, I'd like to point out that I have a compendium of reports about I published about Benghazi, going back to September 24th of 2012. I think 23 or so articles. Joe, something like
23. Okay. And you left one out.
All right. If you look at it, it's in chronological order, but all of these articles will give you specific background on Benghazi. I would really urge everyone to read these previous reports, and it'll give you a great up-to-date handle on what's going on. And, of course, Adam Housley, and I know we're up against the break, but Adam Housley is absolutely fantastic in terms of his coverage of Benghazi, as well as Jennifer Griffin. You came over here to my desk for something. It's okay. All right.
I was just seeing if you had the studio.
No, I don't. That said, folks, we are up against the top of the hour. I want to thank you very much for hanging in there with us, for being part of our program, for listening, and for being part of our extended family. And as always, I like to ask, you know, what have you done today, this week? What have you done recently to prepare? Whether it's to buy just an extra can of food for the pantry, extra couple of cans. What have you done? Have you done any extra steps this week to prepare for what's coming? If not, why not?
661-244-9839 is the call-in number. 661-244-9839. We'll be taking your calls throughout the next hour. You're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report. We'll be right back.
If you're stumped, you don't know what kind of gift to give to a friend or a loved one, I'm telling you, you must go to 4physics.com. That's the numeral 4, PHYSICS.com. This is your one-stop shopping palace. That's the only way I can put it. I could spend easily an hour on this website. Innovative, fun, educational. There are games, books, weather instruments, unique time-telling devices, jewelry, optical devices, laboratory equipment. Let me give you an example. We all know we can tell time with a sundial. You've seen those advertised. Did you know that you could tell time by the stars? At 4physics.com, you can buy a Horologium Nocturnum. This was a navigational device used in the 15th century by navigators at night to tell time by the stars. It's beautifully crafted in the shape of a pendant made of bronze and pewter or gold and silver. Absolutely a stunning gift. I would be proud to give it to anyone. You must go to 4physics.com. Even if you're not stumped, that's 4physics. That's the numeral 4, PHYSICS.com. It's your one-stop shopping palace. Any problems that you have, I don't know what to get Grandpa, I don't know what to get my loved one, that's unique, you will find it at 4physics.com.
Right. I have
world. I like to go to bed free at night.
Friday, May 3rd, 2013 edition of the Hagman and the Hagman Report, which you heard coming back from the break was Bertain Duckworth, Doubts. That's Bertain Duckworth. Folks, good young Christian man with the morals and integrity, songwriter, singer, singing about the state of the country and, of course, expressing his doubts about the future of America in his song. It's called Doubts. It's on YouTube, and I know that the audio of the song may not have been of quality coming through.
We got to get the voice as high as the music.
Right, I understand that, but you can link up with Bertain Duckworth on Facebook, and of course, look at or listen to the entire song called "Doubts" on YouTube. But definitely tell him you heard his music on the Hagman and Hagman Report. If you like it, give him a thumbs up, or just tell him, "Hey, good job." With that, Joe, go ahead.
We're going to take some phone calls, 661-244-9839, after I hit this last headline, because this is one we wanted to hit today and we didn't. Florida sheriff, call us if the guy down the street says he hates the government. Palm Beach County Sheriff Rick Bradshaw recently made a statement saying, "We want people to call us if the guy down the street hates the government." Florida House and Senate budget leaders have awarded Palm Beach County Sheriff Rick Bradshaw $1 million for a new violence prevention unit aimed at preventing tragedies like those in Newtown, Connecticut, Aurora, Colorado, from occurring on his turf. Bradshaw plans to use the extra $1 million to launch prevention intervention units featuring specially trained deputies, mental health professionals, and caseworkers. The team will be responding to citizen phone calls on a 24-hour hotline with a knock on the door and a referral of services if needed. The Intel Hub writes this: "The snitch culture is being promoted heavily all over the country, and there have been a few cases recently where politicians and law enforcement groups have been extremely open about their own tyranny. In a recent case, Florida Sheriff encouraged his audience to report suspicious neighbors and friends, especially those that hate the government. We saw the Newark mayor offer $500 for turning in those people, neighbors, friends, family, with a gun. We saw the similar tactics being used in New York. And when is this going to end? Is this going to end? Of course not. What does our Bible say? People will turn on people regardless of their relationships, whether they be father and son, brother, 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 mother, family are going to turn on each other."
But have you noticed, though, part of that story, and I think that this is probably the hinge point or hinge part of that story, the nugget here that we all have to realize, is the federal money that is being given to Palm Beach County for Sheriff Rick Bradshaw's cooperation in the advancement of this police state, in this see something, say something, turn in a neighbor, turn in a family member. And, you know, since when, ladies and gentlemen, has it been a crime or a terrorist tactic to express your displeasure
with the government. Let it be on record, ladies and gentlemen, and to any law enforcement official in this country, that, you know what, I've got a problem with this current administration. I am absolutely opposed to this administration, this regime's attempts to take away my Second Amendment rights, to curtail my freedoms, freedom of speech. And if that makes me a terrorist, then you know where I live. But you're selling your souls. Is that not what you're doing? You're selling your souls. Let it be on record that Rick Bradshaw, Sheriff Rick Bradshaw, we know what you are. Now we know what you charge, and you know, $1 million.
Your price.
Yeah, exactly. So expect to see more of this. You see, this is the beginning. This is just one county in one state, but this is the beginning. And once again, in our county, we've got a great sheriff. I know the man. I've talked to him personally. I support him. He's retiring,
but he's not listed on the Southern Poverty Law Center list of hate groups or constitutional sheriffs.
He's playing it cool under the radar, you know. He's a cool guy.
No, he's not outspoken.
No, he
has
not
really come up.
But see, it's not really what he says as opposed to what he does, because he has always stood behind a person's right to bear arms, and certainly would never entertain these programs like this. It's all about the money. It's all no, but you know, having the when I spoke here 2 weeks ago, and I mentioned this on air before, I spoke to a candidate for the sheriff because our sheriff is retiring, and my first question was, "Are you an oath keeper?" And he said, "Huh? What? Are you a member of Oath Keepers?" He said, I don't even know what that means." Well, I explained it to him, and if you're, you know, he said, "Well, I've got guns and I'm very pro Second Amendment." Fine, but would you put that in writing? Well, I'm not sure if I really have to put it in writing. I mean, no, you do. You are answerable to the people of this county, or will be, if you want to be answerable to the people of this county. You've got to do that. And I think all of us should demand accountability of our elected officials, including and especially the sheriffs, as they, in fact, will be the front lines in this battle for the Second Amendment rights. It's the states, but it's also the counties. The sheriffs have the power, ultimate authority, to kick out DHS, TSA, whatever, the federal agents. It's the sheriffs that have the ultimate power.
With that, let's go to phone calls. We're going to go to 719 first. I think this is Donna, and then 508. Donna, you're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hello, guys. You guys are so great. By the way, Doug, I read Bad Moon Rising. Excellent. Excellent. I've been mooned.
Yeah, well,
I've been moved.
Yes,
I got
have.
It. It was just a great article.
Well, thank you. And I got to tell you, I published a new one today, but that one got a tremendous amount of response, and it was a little bit long. But thanks for commenting on that, Donna. My goodness. But yeah, you've been moved, as all of us have.
Yeah, I just your writing. I mean, I wish I could write the way you do. It's just incredible. You're a phenomenal writer, really are. You should write a book. Yes, I called in because I'm concerned. My aunt, I called her, and she started telling me all about your program. Yes, I'm aware of that. I said, I told you, go listen to Hagman and Hagman. That's the first time I've ever heard you lose it on Monday night. Actually, it was refreshing. I feel that way sometimes. I call her up going, I'm losing it. I guess what I'm calling in about is, you know, I'm a big Anne Barnhart fan. And when I first listened to her, what did she say in her first speech? She talked about they're going to label people. This is before the whole medical craziness came out with the gun issue, and I think that's going to go even further. But she mentioned that. You know, she mentioned, you wait. It was an article or a speech she did before a group in Colorado Springs. And, I mean, I'm listening to her and I'm thinking, yeah, okay, maybe. And then, of course, this happened. And then I couldn't listen to a few more things she had to say. That has to do with Islam. And in no way am I degrading Islam. So, I mean, okay, forget it. I'm not even going to be PC anymore. I'm just over it.
Yeah, no need here.
Yeah, and, you know, this whole Saudi thing. And then I started thinking, you know, when they did one of the things with totalitarian regimes in the past is people have an inherent ability to want some sort of religion. And you see this New Agers, you know, I don't believe in your Bible. Your Bible's corrupted, yet I'm going to believe somebody that I don't know spewing some stuff I want to hear. Okay, wait. But Islam does what? Hates Christians and hates all other religions. And the basic system is totalitarian. Women are mutilated and reduced to nothing. They worship. I tried to find I really researched this, and it always comes back to a moon god. So it's pagan in nature, whether they know it or not. I'm not talking about the people at the bottom. I pray for them every night. I don't hate them. I pray for them. I would not want to be born in a system like that. And I feel for the people who are. But if I was going to institute a totalitarian system and make people think there's a religion, I'd use that religion. It serves every purpose. They hate everybody. And then when they can't find anybody else to kill, they start killing each other. So, yeah, it kind of fits into the whole Luciferian system. I might be wrong, but
Don, I got to tell you something. When George Bush came out right after 9/11 and propped up Islam, and the way, see the manner in which the evolution of Islam, modern day Islam came about, or post 9/11 Islam, with the Council on American Islamic Relations and the influx of the tolerance, everything about Islam, I guess, since 9/11. It's so transparent to me, and I don't know about you, Donna, but I think that to me that the actual power brokers are using Islam as the tool that will curtail our freedoms, because it's so antithetical to our republic, the laws of our republic. So by merely tolerating and instituting, for example, Sharia law in our court system, it'll dilute the constitutionality of our court system, corrupt our court system, and therefore really corrupt our republic. So it's a tool of the globalist Islam.
Yeah, and let's not forget their sexual practice. I watched her whole sexual stuff, and I didn't take her word for it. I went and researched after I watched it, and I went, whoa, okay, a little different than I'm used to. That was very educational. I think everybody should watch her part. It's a 4 or 8 part series, I do believe, or I can't remember. And then also a very good one was the Vendée. The Vendée 4 part series she did on the French Revolution. It was, when you get to part 4, it was scary because those people really were all Christian people. And like she said, once that ideology kicked in, you know, France still hasn't acknowledged the fact that, you know, 200,000 to 400,000 Vendées died. And those were the pastures. And then, you know, do you think the pastures today are going to stand up the way those pastures stood up in that time frame and say, no, we won't bend our knee to this? And I don't think that's going to happen, however. But it was very educational, you know, something I've never heard before. Have you heard of InfoGuard? I found that on a Jesse Ventura special he did, and I don't know if you're aware of that.
Yes.
Okay.
Very up close and personal.
Then you know about it. Okay. I don't know if the listeners, I was very shocked by that. How do they spell that craft?
I just want to say this about InfoGuard. InfoGuard, for the listeners who don't know what that is, it's an initiative by the FBI. It's actually in Frugard. It's in Frugard. I-N-F-R-A-G-A-R-D. Right. It's this integration of people, business owners, and others that provide information to the federal authorities about suspicious activities. Now, we were approached back in, I think, 2004, 2005 to be a part of it. Well, I was to be a part of InfraGuard. Okay. And, yeah, there you go. And you can learn all about InfraGuard, folks, for those not familiar with the services, what they do. And you know, in theory, it would be a valuable operation. Now, well, I'll just end it there. So I'll just end it right there.
Yeah, like communism is good in theory. Socialism.
Well, yeah. Yeah, it's incredible, but InfraGuard is the perfect. It's this integration, this public-private partnership between the businesses, U.S. businesses in particular, and the FBI. It began, by the way, in 1996, so it was around before 9/11. So, but yeah, folks, definitely look into that, because it's the information sharing between the public and private sector. Huh. It's immense. It really is.
And I think your rant on Monday, which was very refreshing because I'm like a rubber band about ready to snap. And I was shocked at, you know, you played the speech. So I called one of the people at my church I used to go to, and because he had a nice family, I said, you have to hear this, and played it for him, and, you know, gave him the information where I got it, and, you know, you should listen to this, and, you know, hopefully, I said, you know, for your family, I care about your family, he's a good kid, guy at the church that I went to, and has a family, and I just really felt like he really needed the information. I hope and I pray to the Lord that he listens to your show and gets some information. I don't know if he will, but at least I shared it. I also printed out your other article. It was on Benghazi, and made a print of that to hand out to people, and so that, you know, people could go and hopefully educate themselves so they're not stuck in a left-right paradigm. And having said that, I think that's about it. As far as what you said about what's going on, I mentioned it to my son, who doesn't believe in the Bible. But I said, you know, there's a war on Christians. Can't you see it? Oh, that, they're not going to do anything, you know. Everybody has this ostrich-like thing, like, oh, they're just saying that. It won't really happen until it actually happens. And I just kind of said, wait a minute. I mean, when is it you're going to actually wake up and realize what's going on in the spiritual, as opposed to just looking at it from this one point of view? And of course, they're into that new age stuff, and realize what's going on, that it is the spiritual. You know, they want to look at stuff and say it's a secular thing, or, oh, this is my best one. If we just think positive, because this is that new age kind of, you know, new age takes many forms. But however, having said that, you know, if we just think positive, it'll all heal. We can just heal everything by thinking positive, or having this sort of thought process that if everybody just sits and sings Kumbaya, that it's all going to go away. And I'm like, no, you know, and you try to share the gospel and try to share some of the things, and it's rejected and whatever. And I did look into Romans 13. I read it again and again and again, prayed about it, and I am to submit only if the government, at least the way I read it, if the government is not a terror to good works, meaning if our government upheld the Constitution and we were the country we were under God, I'm talking about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and therefore, if that was the case, then yes, I'm to submit to that. But if the government is not and is a terror to God, again, taking God out of the school, I mean, taking God out of, you might as well just take God out of everything. And let me say the article that you posted up there that, or Joe posted about, you know, the true intentions of the homosexual agenda, I think was probably refreshing, because at least for now we know the truth. They want to tear down everything, marriage, everything. And well, anyway, having said that, I don't know what to think. I'm at my wit's end. My band's about to snap, and I don't know. I bring kids. You can store food. You can have gold. You can have all that stuff. But if you don't have that spiritual component that you're talking about, their heart will fail them. Their heart will fail them because they won't have anything to lean on except some sort of erroneous New Age stuff, which isn't going to sustain them. But that's all I have to say. And if I'm wrong about Romans 13, somebody tell me. But other than that, I think you have the right to protect your family. You do not have the right to have some guy come in and rape your wife and say, oh, well, it's God's will. No, 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 no. I do not believe that. If somebody comes into the home and wants to harm anybody that's a guest in my home, I will protect them if I can, to the best of my ability. Okay. Anyway, I will let you guys get on to other callers. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you, Donna. Don't stop
what you're doing. I tried to help you as much as I can, and I'm going to keep doing it as much as I can. And God bless you. Love you guys.
God bless you as well. Thank you so much.
And praise the Lord Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. Yep. Without him, nothing would be possible.
Nope. Can't do anything. As John the Baptist says, nobody has anything unless God allows it. Okay. Go on to other callers.
All right. Great weekend. Talk to you later.
You too.
We cut her off. We probably should send her like a ream of paper and a couple of ink cartridges, because printing out articles, I mean, it's...
It does eat up.
And does that. But you know, isn't that reflective, though? Isn't our battleground, Joe, our families and our friends and our neighbors and our coworkers, isn't that where our front lines are for most of us, trying to enlighten them? And she said something, Donna said something that bothers me a little bit, because everyone's about ready to snap. The rubber band, I mean, like a rubber band, you stretch out so much, and so there's so much tension on that rubber band. Well, that's where the spiritual side comes in.
And we go through that, too. I mean, we go through just about everything the listeners do, you know. We have our problems, our faults, our arguments, tensions.
Yeah.
But we have to know what's important at the end of the day, and... we do know what's important, thankfully, and now we're just continuing to work towards making ourselves right. Moving on the phone lines here, 508, we're coming to you. You're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Moving on the phone lines here, 508, we're
coming
to you. You're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
I love the
show. Yeah, where'd we hear that before? Go ahead, caller, 508, you're up.
Hi, how you doing, gentlemen?
Very good, sir. What's on your mind tonight?
Actually tried to call in a few times unsuccessfully. I guess I just wanted to get to the point. Jesus Christ is all truth. And I've come into a big reawakening over the past couple of weeks, seeing this whole Boston scandal unravel, seeing the truth in it all, and through that, almost being slapped silly into being reawoken into the big picture. And there is no sorrow. There is no fear. There's no worries whatsoever in Jesus Christ. For through him, you find God, you find the Trinity, you find everything, you find all truths. If you have no food in your cupboards, you have nothing to worry about. You will be led out of the darkness at any point in every situation. There is nothing that will be able to hold you back. There is no power of evil that will be able to hold you back. Just wanted to get that point across. If you are worried about having anything to defend yourself with, or worried about having anything to eat, I think all of that will be provided, or your exit to such perils will be introduced to you through Jesus Christ solely alone. And I think that power resides in him and his name only. And I just wanted to share that.
You really clarified the importance there. And that is something I was trying to say earlier, that without the Lord, without having that spiritual relationship with him, we really don't have anything, regardless of how much we think we have.
That was actually me that called in unsuccessfully when you had read off the number to Steve two nights ago. My name's Stu, by the way. And when you read off the number to him, I called that number in hopes to just squeeze a word in. And if you go back and listen to me in the very beginning, just saying there is no anxiousness in God. There is nothing to be anxious in. And it seems like
that actually
were getting... Yeah,
that actually came through.
I know,
and it was,
I heard it again.
It was kind of, it was really kind of. I gotta tell you, the our frustration level was so high during that very point. And when that came through, it was almost like God was talking to us. It was just really weird how that happened.
Yeah,
I was shooken up and tingling all over when I called in and said that. Seriously.
Yeah, that was very interesting how you were able to get by our vast security resources and slip in there without detection. No, it was great.
I loved it.
I want to thank you for that. Yeah, it was timely and it was necessary. But wow,
repeated to me over and over again. There's no anxiousness. I have completely been pacified. I want to spread this peace that I've been reintroduced. I've never lost my faith. I was baptized. Just on a side note, I never lost my faith. I went through a lot of time. I never had disbelief. I was confronted with a lot of people with strong disbelief and just had to just eventually weed them all out, if you will, you know, and just get to the truth solely on my own. And it seems that all of that is a very personal experience for everyone, and for people trying to preach that truth and to get extremely anxious and start, you know, however it comes out, if it's not coming across to that person, it could lead these personal experiences astray. So that's why I tried to just slip that in there, you know what I mean?
Very much so in the month.
And actually, I'll throw you a couple bucks. You put that on an audio tape, and I can continuously play that before the show to calm my dad down.
I don't need any of that, but go for it.
No,
I really love your guys' show, and it's part of a daily thing I do now, amongst just hitting YouTube and getting as many pieces of credible information I can about every false flag, about every piece of evil. I have to say this, and I've tried to tell a couple people today, I woke up this morning, it's just a very jarring and visceral experience almost daily now, and I have no fear. And I woke up and I invite any evil opposition into the light that is over me now to rebuke it in Jesus' name. And when I woke up this morning, I saw a very disturbing commercial that's been running about the goat or whatever. And Lil Wayne is, I don't know if you've seen it, the voice of this demonic goat on the commercial. And I woke up this morning on Anderson Cooper with the other four people he had in his little circular panel experimentation talk they have going on, whatever that means. And they showed the commercial with this goat and literally froze it. And this is right when I woke up and froze it, and it paused. And right as it paused, they switched to another camera of an aerial view right over the table. And I'm sorry, but the five of them were sitting in a perfect, like, upside-down pentagram, frozen paused with the goat right in the middle of them all. You know what I mean? Like, frozen on the screen. And to me, that was just like, hello? You know what I mean?
And now, for listeners who are not familiar with what this caller is talking about, you're referring to the Mountain Dew commercial, I believe, right?
Yeah.
Okay, right.
His connection with the whole movie theater and all that, and the 12 skeletons and his video before that whole incident and everything. I mean, there's strong... strong evil right in people's faces. And I mean, I think if the word gets out, you know,
people might start waking
up to it.
Oh, I'll tell you, fantastic call, fantastic information. I want to thank you very much for your reassuring words the other day, and of course for your inspirational words and information today. Thank you, my friend. God bless.
Full circle. Wow. Keep doing what you guys are doing, man. God bless.
All right. Thanks, buddy.
God bless you too.
Yeah, and I would urge people too. You're talking about the goat. You know,
I'm usually on top of things and either I'm sure I've got an email or a message, but I have not seen that commercial.
I actually didn't see it on television. I saw it on a clip. I'm not even sure it was YouTube. I was looking for a specific video, and it came in as a commercial as it would on television, but it was on my computer. And what it is it's a very uncomfortable commercial where there's this lineup and this woman was abused and supposed to pick out the abuser and the goat was taught. It's just a crazy commercial. I won't even describe it further. If you can search it and find it, it's goat. Just type in Mountain Dew and goat on a search engine. But I would urge everyone to really understand the meaning first of all, identify satanic or Luciferian symbols like the goat, like the owl. Not for any other purpose than just to understand what we are facing. In other words, recognizing the subtleties of evil. For example, if you look on the Queen's, she was wearing a belt buckle. It's kind of a decorative, wide belt with this decorative belt buckle thing, and it had a head of a goat on it. And I'm thinking, wow, you know, how in your face is this? Yet others would look at that and not recognize the significance of what they're looking at. So this is why I tell people to do your own research. Be careful with research. Don't invite, you know, the satanic aspect of things in. But that's, you know,
yeah.
It's just we have to understand what we're dealing with.
I guess I got to make my writing bigger because showing you a number on a piece of paper halfway across the room isn't working. I was trying to cue you into the next caller's area code. 626, we're coming to you next. You're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hey, Doug and Joe. God's blessings to you both from the streets of Pasadena, the as-yet serene streets of Pasadena. On this D plus two of the war on our true Christian faith, gentlemen.
What do you make of what's going on here?
Well, I appreciate you asking that, Doug. And what I'd like to do, and I'll move quickly for expediency's sake, I'll answer your question first, and then I have two quick insights. First off, what I make of Mikey Weinstein's comments, I think that we have accelerated into, I think many of us over the past few years, and I'll just speak for myself here, have been praying and beseeching the Lord, God, we understand what, to a degree, as much as we can. We understand how. We understand who, in as much as they'll reveal it. You know, to your investigations, for example, but what none of us have known is when. And I would just humbly submit tonight that we no longer really need to ask that question. We are now in this time that we've all been aware of, you know, for different periods of time for each individual, of course. But I would humbly submit with a prayerful heart that we are now in days of sorrow, as our Lord said. That would be my answer to that.
Wow. Very good point, very succinct.
Well,
okay.
So if I may, gentlemen, I've mentioned this before, but I work in Hollywood and have for about 15 years, and I am privy to watching actors work daily. It's part of what I do. I'm there on the set, And I watched them transform from a regular individual at craft service, you know, eating Eggs Benedict in the morning, to stepping onto the set and performing. And over the past couple of weekends, I did some research into Boston as well as Sandy Hook. And one thing I found that was really disturbing is some people on YouTube have done some excellent work with Photoshop analysis, indicating that the principal of Sandy Hook, whose name I believe is Donna, it was in fact interviewed by Fox News as a bystander, as a witness at the finish line on April 15th in Boston, the same individual. And now what they did, Doug and Joe, is they analyzed things like the space in the gaps between an individual's teeth, which are specific to an individual. And they can analyze that down into the 0.000 millimeters. So it's very finite analysis. And I would encourage anyone who's interested to just go on YouTube, type in Sandy Hook Principal, Boston, something like that will get you there. And again, you know, I know these things can be dummied up, and there are a lot of people with time on their hands. But what struck me about it was this. I began to watch some of the footage that I really had never watched previously. And Doug and Joe, as I said, I began working in Hollywood back in 99, and I've watched people perform for years. You know, for maybe 200, 250 days a year, that's what I do. And I'm telling you, some of the eyewitness accounts for both the tragedy in Newton as well as April 15th in Boston, they just don't pass the smell test. And that's just my opinion.
Okay.
Again, I submit it
with
a humble
spirit. No, look, I agree that there are some really odd things taking place. And now, I have to say this, however. We have to be very, very, very careful because, as I said on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie the other night, I have it on good authority that there is an active and very intense disinformation campaign going out there, ongoing out there by individuals that are directly involved in these issues to take, you know, to take, for example, take a photograph and using Photoshop, using advanced techniques to make it appear is something that it is not.
No, we do know
the purpose of it, but for
the crisis actors. I mean, you know that these things do
right.
happen in some cases, and I haven't seen what you're talking about.
Yeah,
specifically.
I have.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, just be very careful, caller, because there are certain things that are planted out there as false evidence for the sole purpose of making people like you and me to be, you know, look like kooks. Okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, but I know what you're talking about, but in the larger scheme of things, none of these things pass the cumulative smell test. But we have
Amen.
To be very careful with, you know, what we pick. Now, you're working with actors. It's interesting because let me ask you this: how many of the Hollywood actors would you say are in tune with? I mean, really in tune with things, know what's going on.
That's
trying
an excellent question,
Doug.
That's an excellent question, if I may. I'll answer that, and then quickly I'd like to segue off the excellent point you just made with my last point here. To answer your question, there are some. And in my experience, the more successful and the more experienced the talent, we call them talent in the industry, are the more inclined they are to approach things with an open mind because they have reached the quintessence of their career. They have reached a plateau where they're comfortable. They don't feel they have perhaps as much to lose. Now, that's not to say they're going to announce they voted for Bush or Mitt Romney, although many did. But But I would say that the percentage is still fairly small. I'll tell you one interesting thing, and this is something that you really have to be working in this town or in New York in this country to know, perhaps Vancouver and Toronto up north, is that there's an organization that's kept very quiet, and it's called Friends of Abe. And you have to be invited to a gathering, to a get-together. And Friends of Abe is sort of organized and hosted often by absolute A-list people that we would all recognize, many of whom we've enjoyed their work for years. So there is honest conservatism in the industry. And I do think that with the Ron Paul phenomenon in 2011 and 12, many of these individuals are beginning to see some of these cornerstones, if you will, to the awakening process. For example, they're beginning to understand the Federal Reserve, and they're perhaps beginning to understand that perhaps the DHS is operating almost autonomously, almost like a government within a government. So there is some awareness to that. And if I may quickly, because I...
Oh, yeah, sure.
Well, I just
well,
I don't want to monopolize
too
much
question,
more time.
Well, let me just say, the reason I asked that question is I had the opportunity to develop a, I'm not going to say a friendship, but we talk probably once every couple of weeks with an actor. Everyone would know who this person is. And he came out and said this. He said, don't you ever refer to me by name. You know, but shared the sentiments, his sentiments about what's taking place, which is totally opposite the persona. For example, when he appears on talk shows, it's almost as if I'm talking to there's two different people there. And it's a deliberate misrepresentation, as you put it, of the talent, or as they're called, a talent. It's a total misrepresentation. It's like he's living a lie. And I could never really comprehend
that. People don't
want
to get involved sometimes. People don't want to know or pretend they know.
That's exactly it, Joe. What it is, it is proper to characterize it as a misrepresentation. The last thing I will add before I make this final point is that they work very hard. They experience a lot of rejection, sometimes for maybe two decades, to start making a living doing what they do, and they see their craft as a service. The same way, for example, that somebody who does body work may conduct themselves differently when they're doing their trade during the day than they do in their regular lives. That's not to excuse it, but just to sort of add an extra insight there. But yes, that's exactly correct. They it's a service, and it is a monetized service, and therefore they are going to protect that for as long as they can. So that's
yeah,
certainly
and I understand that. And go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to one more thing quickly, and it has to do with discernment. And what I inferred a moment ago, Tug, from your remarks about just really being cautious and really using discernment. And folks, I want to remind everyone that discernment is from the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. Without that Holy Spirit, what you have is your best judgment. Okay, discernment only comes from that single source. And I would add quickly with regards to that, go back and listen to Paul McGuire. I guess it was early last month. He made some phenomenal remarks and insights about the evangelical church in Nazi Germany in the 1930s. And in fact, suggested that when the Holy Spirit departed and could not coexist with the sin in the church, that was when the church reverted from discernment to quote unquote best judgment. And of course we know what the end game there was. But what I was going to say quickly about discernment, Doug and Joe, is this. Last night Nathan Liao made a point that has been on my mind all day, and it was regarding one of his dreams. I believe it was dream number 3 when he was watching the Patriots march off to war. What a powerful host of images that was. And it got me thinking about Pastor Chuck Baldwin and what he's doing in Flat Mountain, Montana. Pastor Baldwin is bringing believers together from all points of the compass and encouraging them to congregate and to worship with regard to what they called the Black Regiment churches during the Revolutionary War. And if anyone's interested in looking at some really interesting history, just Google. I'm sorry, we don't say that anymore, do we? Just search Black Regiment Churches, Revolutionary War. So I won't go into all of that. But what I was suggesting by mentioning it is this. We are coming, I believe, to a place, gentlemen, perhaps in the near future, where discernment will be the most important tool. It will be the most important weapon in our inventories in dealing with eventualities. And so that being said, I would encourage the listeners to look up the word cloister, C-L-O-I-S-T-E-R. It's sort of an arcane word these days. You don't hear it used often. But in the Middle Ages, when a community was under attack, when they were at the risk of great peril and perhaps even being killed, they would often come together as Christian believers, sometimes around a monastery or a church, and they would cloister together for strength in the Holy Spirit as well as physical protection. And the reason that I'm mentioning it tonight is because the point Nathan Liao made last night was, at least the way that I analyzed it, was we have the right to defend ourselves. And without protecting our Second Amendment rights, we really don't have the means to defend ourselves, realistically. But to march off to war, you know, for the flag and for the Constitution, it may, and I'm just throwing this out there, it may be submitting ourselves to breaking one of the Ten Commandments, which is thou shalt not kill. So my conclusion is, if folks are able to begin to put together a core community of believers, people who hold each other accountable, people who are spirit-led, then we may have the discernment that we need to know when the Lord has directed us or blessed us with the knowledge, with the foresight to say, okay, this is it. This is where we're at the point of peril, where we have no choice but the recourse of self-defense. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on that, Doug and Joe. And that being said, I'll say good night and God bless so others can join the show.
Well, thank you. Interesting, you brought up the word cloister. It just took me back to my seminary days where the Latin classes, that was one of the words I remember vividly having to deal with. I could never get that particular word right. But having said that, the image that you spoke of with respect to Nathan Liao, Joe, I don't know, did he seem like it was a sad thing to you about the marching? I mean, it was not the proper thing for them to do?
Very much so, yeah. He was saying what I can remember in both dreams, the one dream where he talked about the ambush, he was saying, you guys have no idea what you just did.
Yeah.
And he was saying how it was very emotional. And in the second dream in the motel parking lot where the people were starting to march, he was going out there to stop them, and he said he got ran back, and he was real sad and emotional.
Well, yeah, I really believe that there are people out there that will want to draw first blood, that when in fact that's the wrong position, because even Lexington Green basically do not shoot first. You know, don't.
You can never be on the offensive.
Right. It would exactly.
Not when you're talking about using any type of physical action, no.
Right, and I think that this would be a very important historical hinge moment in time where, you know, we cannot draw first blood, but when they bring the war to us, to our doorsteps, to our families, to our freedoms, to our... in the manner in which we expect them to, then of course we have to respond accordingly. But again, we don't draw first blood. That's That's the point. I think most people, most rational, reasonable people are looking at. Now, I don't know. I mean, we could have a discourse on this.
What's rational and reasonable anymore?
Exactly. So, but it's interesting because I didn't get that as a sense of anything good. I got that as like a rogue renegade group going off with the intent to draw first blood, which, again, you lose that moral high ground when you do so with unless, of course, there's a part of that picture we're not seeing, but at its face. And I think throughout, I just think it's important for us to keep that moral high ground and to obey God. We have to listen to God's instructions, I believe, and we'll be guided accordingly.
Right.
If we open and keep open that spiritual component, spiritual aspect of things.
One more call. We only got a few minutes. We're going to go to 267 area code. You're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hey, what's up, fellas? God bless.
God bless. What's on your mind tonight?
Yeah, what's on my mind? I just wanted to kind of switch topics. Wanted to talk about those radio towers that are popping up everywhere. This is Eric from Philadelphia. It's been a while since I called in.
Yes, sir.
But they are popping up everywhere. I mean, it's to the point that I'm driving with my kids, and they're like, "Dad, what are those things?" And oddly enough, it feels like the atmosphere around the area is changing. You know, I don't know if this DARPA, you know, mind control thing, but, you know, they're really weird looking, and, I mean, they're on every building. We live in an urban area, and they're just everywhere. And I was just wondering.
Yeah, yep. Obviously, the cell companies rent building space, and, of course, you'll see in New York City, you drive through New York City, you'll see literally thousands in I don't know, in a couple of square blocks. But when you start getting out under the roadways like Interstate 80 and such, you're seeing them come up more and more. Is this a natural thing, or are we seeing something a little bit more nefarious? I think maybe there might be something behind this in addition to the normal cell communication.
I agree.
I just feel like the atmosphere is just like, I don't know, like, I just feel like, I don't know, like, my mood is
changing. The electromagnetic waves that these things emit are dangerous, and they do this to play with our moods. They've already admitted they can mess with your mood, put words in your head, make you feel depressed, sad, happy, through these frequencies.
Yeah, indeed. And we're going to keep our eyes on this and do a little bit more research into this, because there is something to this.
And they're all over here now, too.
Yeah, they are, and we're seeing them come up. In fact, John from Braveheart Radio had mentioned something very similar about the erection of a tower like this.
I would like you guys to, you guys do really good research, but to, you know, kind of maybe touch on this a little more, because, I mean, it's just to a point that it's, I see more of those than local bodegas, and I mean, like, they're everywhere, and then, you know, I could actually feel, like, my mood changing, like, and it's weird, because I'm just like, okay, this might be some DARPA stuff, but then, really, they're just going up everywhere. When you see the wires that come from them, they're really thick. It's just like something out of the ordinary, and
definitely out of the ordinary, caller. We're going to be doing some research on that. We're up against the close of the program. We had to cut you loose. God bless you, my friend. Thank you for bringing that topic up. Thank you so much. And have a great weekend. What a great show tonight. Love you, listeners.
Stay strong. Stay in the Bible this weekend and stay safe.
And you know what? Once again, please, just take a step this weekend, maybe just one baby step toward preparation. Hug a loved one. Communicate with your wife, your husband. Just try to rekindle maybe a little bit of what you might have lost. And this weekend, spend a little bit of extra time with your family. Precious time. God bless you.